And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Good morning, and welcome to Declare Your Insurrection with Davi Barker and Drew Phillips. Now, let me tell you what's going on, because I saw this coming a long time ago. Ernest Hancock, I'm sure you're all aware, is always talking about Generation Next. You know, the young, the up-and-comers, blah, blah, blah. So I saw this coming. Ernest Hancock has been replaced by Bitcoin, not bombs. That's right. Drew Phillips and I have taken over the Freedom's Phoenix, Declare Your Independence studio, and we have locked Ernie in his dome farm outside. I'm sure you guys have seen it. Drew, how's it going this morning?
Hang on a second.
Good morning. Yeah.
So I think this is the earliest I've ever seen you up. Does that sound about right?
No, the show sometimes is on at 6 a.m., not 7 a.m., so I've actually been up earlier to do this radio program.
So the government let you sleep in?
A little bit, yeah. Them damn blue laws.
So what do you got for me? What do you want to talk about?
We went to a... why don't we tell people where we went last night and who we got to present... you got to present Bitcoin to.
I think that's a fun idea.
That was interesting.
So last night... the reason that I'm in Phoenix, I just realized I'm in the jurisdiction of Joe Arpaio.
Yeah.
I feel kind of dirty.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason that I am in Phoenix, I'm from California, is that I was invited to come and speak at a sort of economics breakfast club kind of thing with a lot of sort of high rollers from the Republican Party and sort of think tanks like a Goldwater Institute and Cato and stuff like that. And they wanted to know about Bitcoin, and I think it's probably because they're a little bit afraid.
Yeah.
I was concerned. I thought I was walking into a den of wolves and thieves, and they were very friendly. They had a lot of really great questions. And I think that it went well overall. I think that there's some confusion, there's some generation gap, some language gap, but, you know, I am having a hard time finding someone anywhere who has not heard of and is not curious about Bitcoin, and that's exciting for me.
Yeah, so they said that this was a controversial topic, and some people didn't show up to this meeting in protest last night.
That's true. We did have some boycotts.
But they were over capacity, and there was quite an interest in Bitcoin at this group, so we were not in the lion's den, and we were not thrown in front of the wolves. But I think it overall went really well. I did, you know, I was telling you last night, obviously, so at the very end of this, they go around the room and everybody gets to make a comment or a question, and for the most part everybody made a comment that they thoroughly enjoyed your presentation and they really liked it. Except I didn't say this, but I did notice that two people got up and left before that.
Oh yeah?
And I wasn't sure if they left just because it was late and they were ready to go home, or if they left because they specifically didn't want to make that comment or participate in that comment round where everyone... Because it was an opportunity for everyone to say, was it a good presentation or a bad
presentation?
Well,
it's kind of a lightning round, too. Maybe they just didn't want to be put on the spot.
Maybe. Well,
what do you think were the best questions of the night? I think my personal favorite was something like, what if the terrorists buy flak jackets? Was it something like that?
Yeah, something. Yeah.
And the end, you know.
No, your comment was.
Bitcoin doesn't kill people. People kill people.
Yeah. So, yeah, there certainly was, while this group is libertarian in
leaning
in its philosophy, yeah, slightly tilted.
Sure.
Yeah, there wasn't. I mean, there's no hostility towards it, but there was certainly, you know, this is for Al Qaeda.
Yeah, there was the tax question. This is for, you know, tax evasion,
which most people laughed off too. I mean, I won't name names, but a few of the people I talked to at the end of the night were more interested in the privacy aspect of Bitcoin than they were in the in just the trading or investment or speculation side of it. You know, because I went in there thinking, well, most of these people probably just want to sign up for Coinbase and pop their bank account in and just buy some and don't really care if they're attached to it. But no, the one particular person I was talking to was not interested in that. He was interested in privacy. Privacy was right. What he was concerned about. So, I mean, that was just more to the libertarian-leaning side. So we were really in our crowd. I mean, we really... we were amongst people who want to evade taxes and keep their financial, you know, business out of your business or not let you know what they're, you know, none of your business.
Maybe, what do you think? Maybe we should just introduce ourselves. I mean, this is a whole new audience for us having taken, I mean, we're amateurs here in the studio, and I'm sure a lot of these people have never even heard of us. So you want to, why don't you tell me who we are?
Who we are?
Or who you are.
I'm just Drew.
I guess you've been on the show quite a bit.
Yeah, but I think you meant more specifically, what is Bitcoin Not Bombs? And I think that's a good. This is a good time, some 6 months later, for me to ask you what is Bitcoin Not
what
Bombs?
What is Bitcoin Not Bombs? Bitcoin is a phenomenon that is bigger than either of us.
It's fake it till you make it.
Well, it's what is it? So Bitcoin Not Bombs is just a concept. It's that the war dollar is tied to U.S. debt. U.S. debt is, you know, used to kill people and conduct wars, either on drugs or on terror. And it's a very expensive thing for the government to do, conduct wars on drugs and terror. You know, we're not really interested in either of those things. So we're sort of interested in currencies that are not connected to that whole thing. It's sort of like if Walmart were blowing up Taco Bell, I probably wouldn't shop there. And so I'm interested in a currency that is not involved in that whole process, and Bitcoin is not. And Bitcoin gives me the opportunity to not participate in the war.
Remember, it was either Bitcoin Not Bombs or money laundering protection fund.
That's in the mission statement. No, it's the money laundering legal defense fund.
Yeah. For all you money launderers out there, I like that there was a comment recently. We should tell people about the Bitcoin group, but there was a comment recently where it was like, "So we're all tax evaders, or we're all money launderers. We just don't want to admit it."
Right. Well, that was also one of the issues. I forget where the interview was, but one of the early Bitcoin ATM interviews, the interviewer said, "So you're basically laundering money," and the owner of the Bitcoin ATM was sort of admitted it on air. You know, laundering is one of these words that the state invented.
Yeah,
and
right.
I don't think it's a real word. It's sort of like immigration. Immigration is not a real word because you're moving across an imaginary border. The word for immigration in real language is moving. So the word for money laundering in real sort of honest to good English in a free society is ownership.
Right. Well, and so we can't say mean things about the group last night because, hey, 421 on Bitcoin.
Look at that. That's right.
Bitcoin
surpassed silver. Now it has surpassed marijuana, and we are approaching gold. Bitcoin is now over $420 a Bitcoin. That's huge.
I was shocked because interestingly enough, some people at the meeting last night were saying, oh, I look at Mt. Gox. And I'm going, okay, you're obviously new to Bitcoin because nobody cares what Mt. Gox says anymore. You know. But, it was when I left, you know, from Tucson to come up here to Phoenix yesterday at, you know, I don't know, it was 11.
You know, that's funny.
It was like 380. So what I'm saying is in a 2-hour car trip, Bitcoin went $20 higher. So that was kind of fun. But, yeah, 421 over there on that. That's either pre or...
You know, one of the funny things that happened to me last night was I'll hold this one over.
So much on our minds, and I don't know if we've condensed anything in the first 15 minutes. Should we go, like, check on Ernie and the insurrection?
Yeah, let's go make sure Ernie's okay. We'll untie him and get him here in the studio. Oh, you can see him right there behind me. All right, so...
No, you gave it away. You couldn't see him.
We'll come back after the break.
He broke free! Those guns were good for something.
I'm out! We'll be back after the break!
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I made it. I got back. Whoa, damn. We got to turn me down, man. I had to crank him up. You know, once I busted back into the studio, you know, and see what they're doing, clearing their insurrection. Do I need a form for that, Davi? Is that a government form thing?
No government form.
Yeah, you got to get up close to the mic.
No government form. No, they do not make an insurrection form.
You know, and
there's no license, no application, no
permit. That's kind of the point. You know, this is, one thing that was pointed out last night was that in the Declaration of Independence, there was a complaint about, the king not giving them an opportunity to put down the savage tribes of the Indians, and, you know, they're whipping our butt, and we got, so I'm going, they had that.
Well, I didn't sign it.
It was an interesting evening last night, and the guys that put it on, they were very happy that went as well as it. I tell you, there's one columnist, a woman. There was only two women there out of 30-something people, and they never go over 30. You know, that's kind of their thing. They try and just keep it at, 25 to 30 people to make sure that, there's a lot of interaction because they wanted participation. What? No, yours is off on purpose, okay? I'll be with you in a second. All right, I put it on. Well, it's because there's a lot of bathroom echo if I have all three on, I'm talking. Don't worry about it. So what happens is that one of the attendees, her name is Becky Fanger, and her column is called Fanger Pointing, And she's like a political gossip columnist. And the first thing that she says, she goes, I was just so surprised that you, wore a suit and tie and you didn't have a turban on or anything, because this is what happened. I didn't out them, all right? Now, these guys they're big, a lot of them are, Republican, this kind of neoconing, we got, some Muslims need to be bombed or something. And certainly a heavy contingent of anti-immigration. Well, and there are a lot of them, they understand libertarian philosophy, and those that don't are learning, it's, and then we're shifting them over to the anarchy. And what happened was, when Davi sent his bio, in his bio there, he does the Daily Anarchist. Okay, well, heck, he must be a terrorist, already. And then it has, Muslim agorist, Muslims for Liberty. So he goes, Muslims for Liberty, and he's like, you didn't tell us he was Muslim, kind of thing. So I could just see it. And I'm going, oh, I know how this is going to go over. And of course, I don't even think that even came up. I don't think that ever came up, but I know it was on their minds. So it's for them to get an experience in Bitcoin, to understand from the beginning. Davi did a great job of explaining where it came from, how it works, the politics behind it, the chain itself. And there was one thing that they didn't know that really, 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 I think, had an impact, is that the blockchain, Bitcoin, is not just about doing money or transfers of bits and pieces at value or whatever. It could be anything like land records. See, the only hurdle that I ever had on the government thing, I knew there would be a solution somewhere. I don't know what it is, but I would like to be able to have a ownership recognized in something. So that's what the county recorder is for. And that used to be all they did. The county recorder, that's all they did. You know, you give me documents, they put a little barcode thing on it, scan it in, put it, and says that's yours, and this guy notarized and sent you, done. You know, we don't even have an opinion. Then they start getting in with the tax, and they put liens and record liens from the IRS going to take your property. And then, you know, oh, that's your property? Well, this is how we're going to tax your property. And it just became a thing for the king. So I'm going, well, how do I get to have property ownership recognition and that it's agreed to by everybody and this is mine? How do you do that? Well, the Bitcoin protocol is, you know, just as easy to say this lot of land, I got it, is mine. You know, and then if there's force and fraud and how it takes, well, that's, I guess you could have a, you know, shootout or something, or that's what you might have a little court or something. But it was a property ownership that was the big thing. This is how you do it. One of the gentlemen was invited that works for a law firm here, a big political law firm, Rose Law Firm. They're, you know, a bunch of lobbyists, what they are. And they were convinced to take Bitcoin by one of their young attorneys. And he wasn't even that young, really. And he goes, look, man, you know, this is a going concern. Once they realize that they could take Bitcoin, immediately convert it into cash, right? All right, we're in. They were, all these guys all summer, they're on my butt, man. They're going, no, there's nobody, I never heard of Bitcoin. Nobody's ever heard of Bitcoin. There's never going to be a Bitcoin. It's not Bitcoin. And all of a sudden, it's front page of the Wall Street Journal just, what, a couple days ago. It's at 420 right now.
We got to get a screenshot of that.
Exactly. I did. There we go. Boom, 420.
Got to send that to me.
The so, and of course that came up too, but the main thing is when it came out in Reason magazine cover had Cody Wilson. I keep
calling him Davi and me Cody.
I don't know what, because you guys, yeah, you remind me of each other, but Cody Wilson, great interview in there, did a great explanation of you know, Bitcoin and his 3D gun printing, and they mentioned dark wallet coming, which is also another issue. So this was an excellent opportunity to expose at the highest level. As the people went around introducing themselves, you're kind of surprised at, you know, all the representation there, were you not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of was ready because you kind of filled me in about what the thing was and everything. But I went into it with some expectations and came out of it with sort of a different experience. But it was totally positive. And it was. It was... yeah, you know, money and interest. That's what it was. And
they were invested
in, money,
in the
so.
System, that was sure. They were definitely invested,
yeah,
in
true.
The system.
So there's... So there's
Jonathan, hey! Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. This is our intern, Jonathan.
Morning.
Gallagher. Say hey. All right, come here, Jonathan. Come here. Get over here with Drew. All right, going on this one right here. All right, tell me. You ever heard of Bitcoin? What's that Bitcoin thing?
I think it's like online money.
You think? You got one?
I'm not sure.
We're going to hook you up, man. You know, today, are you working this afternoon?
No, I'm not, actually.
Yes! You will come. We're at from 3 to 9, so sometime from 3 p.m. to 9 o'clock, you come by, hang out with us. We'll get your smartphone all hooked up. I'll give you some bit. You be in the community.
Okay, I'll take free money.
Okay, this will be a little bitty .000.
By the end of the day, you will be a money launderer.
You know, I tell you, this is what, thanks, Jonathan. This is what happened. A lot of the guys, one of the guys came up, he's like, okay, do me. I want to you said you'd give me one. So I go, yeah, .001.
Did you set someone up at the end of the night over there?
Yeah,
while you
Peter,
were
the guy with the ponytail. Yeah. He goes, Peter comes in, and he does network IT stuff for banks. I mean, you know, so the guy's a big banking guy. He's also a musician, too. Matter of fact, he gave me...
Job obsolete.
Yeah, he gave me his album.
I thought that
album.
Sentence was going to end with opportunity, but obsolete works just
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, they used to have top hit songs. He was a rock and roll star.
Did you catch that, though, Davi? That law firm can accept Bitcoin.
So can anyone can accept
can.
Bitcoin.
They can? You can accept Bitcoin?
Or you do?
They do.
Oh.
So, they were given permission.
So, Peter, I gave him .001. And I found out it was 40 cents or so. I go, hell, I don't want to give you 40 cents.
Giving pocket change to bankers.
I go, seriously.
They need it.
Now that you've found the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM, you may want to help expose others to our great programs. To assist you in doing so, you'll find resources at promote.LRN.FM, including details on how to get a free bumper sticker, quarter-page flyers you can print out and distribute, banners for your website, as well as files that will allow you to make your own custom banners and graphics. Visit promote.LRN.FM and help bring new listeners to the Liberty Radio Network. That's promote.LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
And we're back without Drew. Now, Drew has always gone late somewhere else on his phone, smoke, whatever the hell he's doing. You know, this is... The experience, I really kind of anticipated it was going to be about, you know, what happened. There may have been some antagonist that would have been there. But online, they've been, and usually this group, the only thing that the email is, it just says, hey, we're having this meeting, and this is the thing, and this is who, and this is, you know, whatever. It goes, oh, peace, and I'll be there, and done. No discussion, no political discussion. What started the whole thing was, in the summer, one of the guys goes, you know, those anarchists, they, oh, Alan Corwin,
the guy that didn't show up,
he's on today. He comes on the second hour, talk about some of his gun stuff and everything. That's going to be interesting.
Wait, you're telling me the guy who refused to come last night is going to be on the show next hour with me?
Right.
Okay.
I know. Serendipity, man.
Well, we'll talk about guns and Bitcoin.
Okay. What happened was, is that there's a big criticism. You don't have Mike, you're late. So what happened is this gentleman, he was very critical. Oh, you know, that's just funny money. Some of the other guys are going, ah, well, might as well just be seashells. And I go, well, I'll buy your seashells. And they go, what?
How much do you want?
I go, you know, work me a deal. Because we do oyster shells as a calcium supplement for our chickens. And it costs like, I don't know, I figured it out. Donna got buys it by, it's like 40 cents a pound. And I'm going, 40, you give me a better 40 cents a pound deal, I'm all over it, you know? Because if you don't supplement the chickens with calcium, all that calcium, you know, goes into their eggshells, and sooner or later they start getting thin, and then they just break. You know, they're just pooping out egg, you know?
So what you're saying is if you lived in a community where everybody raised chickens, you could actually use seashells as currency.
This is true. You could use seashells as currency now. I know they do it at the feed store. I mean, I got to go buy it.
Right.
So the thing is I'm going, okay, well, let's work a deal. And he's like, what did you? He goes, well, concede, you lost. And I'm going, no, I pay 40 cents a pound for seashells, man. I mean, come on. So this is, you know, an education for everyone. Well, it was one of the most popular. They had to move into a bigger room, and it's at this place called University Club. And these are the boys. I mean, they're all, you know, the head guy of this, and, you know, one of the gentlemen was just on Fox News the day before or that day or something. And a lot of the guys, you know, they're high up there, big in politics here in Arizona on every level. I mean, it's Cato and Goldwater Institute and Institute for Justice and Americans for Prosperity. Oh, yeah, the Americans for Prosperity guy.
Yeah.
You know, didn't show either. But there's like three of the main... I say three of the main critics that really tried to be coolers. I've learned this term. It's got, you guys know what a cooler is? You know,
yeah.
Drew, tell them what a cooler is.
And they were present at BitCon, the conference we went to, coolers. Yeah, so people who will come in and basically chill your enthusiasm, all right, and say, you know, it's not that subversive.
It's a buzzkill.
You know,
exactly.
Right. Yeah, don't worry,
pay no attention to those young and whatever.
Yeah, Bitcoin's fine as soon as we regulate it. But until then, it's not safe for commercial use, right? It's not approved.
The Surgeon General hasn't put a warning on it yet.
FDA approved, yeah.
So that's not a cooler. And these people play an active role. And I learned that from Jeff Greenspan. He was like the Southwest coordinator for Ron Paul's campaigns. And he's a big, you know, hangs with these guys too. And I go, man, what the heck is this guy? Was that their job? And he goes, yes. He goes, didn't you know that? In politics, you have guys that are coolers. And I go, pray tell, what the hell is a cooler?
Well, Alan Corwin just isn't that cool, so... Sorry, he didn't make it.
You know, I like Alan. I've known him a long time. We're good friends.
And guns are his issues. Stick to guns, Alan.
Well, even then, he's kind of, well, reasonable and prudent, you know, that kind of thing.
What does he think of the 3D printed gun?
We will ask him.
I think we will.
We will ask him. You know, the first couple of segments, though, you guys got to kind of be very, very quiet.
Oh, yeah, I'll play possum. You know?
And then well, I go, well, as a matter of fact.
Right. Yeah. You know, there was a great point from, I wish I knew who it was, but he was talking about Apple and the way that Apple worked early on. And he said that if somebody came to Steve Jobs with a great idea they were super enthusiastic about, Steve Jobs said something to the effect of, go explain it to your mother and then have your mother come and explain it to me. And the reason for that was that he recognized that the end user, the consumer, was not a computer programmer, was not a computer technician. So if the guy couldn't convince his mother and his mother couldn't convince Steve, then the market would never understand the product and that there wouldn't be a market for it. And I
good
feel
idea.
like that is sort of the mission of Bitcoin Not Bombs in a way, is that we need to take the language of the computer programmers and simplify it. Like the iPod is a perfect example, right? Like people say that the selling point for the iPod was the statement, 1,000 songs in your pocket. Right? So that's not a technical specification. But if you say, what is Bitcoin? Bitcoin is transferring an unlimited amount of money to any country in the world for a penny with no government form.
Like, be your own bank.
Nuh-uh!
A bank in your pocket.
That's too... Nuh-uh! I mean, that's basically, you know, the arguments. And some of them... Yeah, the one is the... you know, it was kind of... I couldn't contain... These are, you know... respected, important people, and one of them that I like more than most, he was the one that was saying, yeah, but you know, couldn't they use Bitcoin to fund a, you know, a kid strapping on a bomb to walk in and blow up the kind of what? And I'm going,
yes, the government does that with dollars every day.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it sounded as good as he was saying it as it did in his head.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I'm going, how did that go, man? You know, really, is that ring true? Because I go, you mean like cash? I mean, seriously.
Cash or gold or silver or seashells or anything.
And what was your point?
My point, yeah, Bitcoin doesn't kill people. People kill people. Which, that got a laugh. I was glad that one hit home.
You know, I'm... Did you actually say it?
Yeah.
Oh, I said something because I didn't hear you say
it. I had it sort of like... I had it loaded for the money laundering question. I was prepared to say Bitcoin doesn't launder money. People launder money. But, you know, when I got the terrorist question and I got the opportunity to just really say Bitcoin doesn't kill people, people kill people, that just was, it was a perfect fit.
You know, there was another one where you used another comment that got a laugh. What was it? I can't remember.
A Quisling got a laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I was happy about that. So, yeah, there's this dichotomy in the Bitcoin community between the sort of regulation beggars that want the state to officially recognize it and the free marketeers that want Bitcoin to remain unregulated in a completely free economy. And I've adopted the term Quisling to describe the regulation beggars. And Quisling is sort of, it's an old term. I think it's a fabulous term, but it's from World War II, and so people don't really use it anymore. And what it was used to describe was people who sympathized with the fascists in Germany. And it's because there was a politician, I think, in Norway named Quisling, who was sort of a secret plant of the Nazi government and the Norway government. And so the term Quisling became World War II slang for a traitor. And now it's out of use, but I think we should you know, resurrect it.
A lot of these guys they knew what it was. They're just going.
They thought that was funny.
You know, that's another thing. It's a generational thing to where, you know, Gary Gannon drove us. He came and got us. Mm-hmm. This is okay. Gary Gannon lives in Sun City West out there. You gotta say West, or they want to shoot you. You know, they're the young active guys. But the he came out, picked us up, and we went and had to pick up a guy named Joe Cobb. Joe Cobb had injured his foot, and we were just, you know, helping him get there. And so when we picked him up, I go ahead and give the guys your bona fides, man. You know, give them your bio.
Which took the whole drive. That man has quite a list of credentials.
Yeah, from the Heritage Foundation, I think, FEE, you know, all kinds of different Washington think tanking, doing the first organization that Koch did and started. He worked for the Koch brothers. He did, you know, worked for Ron Paul as a staffer.
I worked for Reagan.
Has that guy written a book? Because he's also, he's very... I don't know what the word for it, I guess articulate or whatever. He understands language very deeply.
Yeah, I know he's well-read, a smart guy and everything. But, you know, here, when he moved to Arizona, he finally went from Washington, D.C. to California. He got involved in the Libertarian Party there. And he came here, and we're a bunch of freaking blazing anarchists. So he kind of, you know, it was, you know, you still vote? I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those. So, new standards. But they're all coming around, just like I tried to influence a lot of people as a young guy. So did you guys.
Freedom Summit 2014, February, in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Since 2001, the Freedom Summit has annually featured many rising stars of the Liberty Movement before they were proven right. The 2014 Freedom Summit has been crafted to provide a glimpse of the future and how best to position your family as we transition away from authoritarianism to a voluntarist society. Freedom Summit 2014's partial speaker list includes anti-police state columnist Will Grigg and anarchist Larkin Rose. They are Saturday night's dinner double feature. Other Freedom Summit presenters include co-host of Ron Paul's America and New York Times bestselling author Charles Goyette. Independent Institute's Anthony Gregory. Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope. International columnist Paul Rosenberg. Criminal defense attorney Mark J. Victor. And 3D gun printer Cody Wilson. And that's just half the list. See the full list at freedomsummit.com. The Freedom Summit, where the great minds of the modern freedom movement have been coming together since 2001. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from
your lies. I want to break free from your lies, 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 liar, liar, pants on fire. And, you know, a lot of truth. And that was the point in the intro that I did for Davi. I'm going, look, man, you know, since I was young, you guys know me. You remember, I was these guys 20 years ago. You know, because a lot of these guys, you know, now they're in their 60s, you know, 70s. They were my age now when I was them 20 years ago. And they're just going, and I come back, especially when this season when I came back with a beard and it's gray, and I'm going, next generation, we're here to replace you. And I always made the comment, and they really, you know, they kind of, it was funny at first, and then it starts, it's not so funny anymore. I go, look, you guys don't get it. I'm just waiting for you guys to die off. You know, this is, you know, sooner or later, you're going to be gone. We're going to be here, and generation next is coming. That is upsetting. Now, a lot of people, that they finally get to the point where they think they rule or control, they got legislators, and all of a sudden you start bypassing them and you don't care. And they've been around for all the wars. The war on wars, and the war on this, and the war on that, and the war. And one thing that I wanted to bring up is that there was an idea I had for a YouTube video promotion for a lot of the stuff that we do. And I was watching, I think it was Nikita. It's a, you know, she's a spy girl, and it's like, you know, kung fu chick, you know. And I'm going, good fight scenes. You know, they have, you know, this high-end spy thing. They go, fight, 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 fight. And I go, how cool would it be is that if you had there was one scene where she beats the crap out of this guy, and she takes his phone that was some secret whatever thing that they were communicating, and she crushes it. And then it zooms in on her, and she goes, can you hear me now? And I go, oh, that'd be the awesome last frame of a series of a bunch of fight scenes, like, you know, James Bond Casino Royale. That was an awesome chase scene in the beginning. You have all these other fight scenes, and it's fight, 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 fight scenes. You do like 2-3 minutes of fight scenes, and then Crush Bunch goes, "Can you hear me now?" Then I'm going, this is what the battle is. It's always against the individual. Can you hear me now? And the thing is that we were talking about it, and Davi came up with this idea. He's like, and he was telling them about the war on drugs and the war on whatever and how expensive they're going to be. Tell the story of what you came up with last night.
Yeah, so the question is, what if the government just makes Bitcoin illegal? And my first answer was, I transfer all my Bitcoin to a more encrypted wallet.
Dark wallet.
Yeah, I get dark wallet. That's what I do. But what I said to him was, you know, the war on drugs is very expensive, and they have to print money to conduct this war. And the war on terror is even more expensive. And if they try to declare a war on Bitcoin, it will be the most expensive war the state has ever fought, because it's a war on money. And the only weapon they have is printing money. And the more money they print, the weaker their own money becomes. So, yeah, you cannot win a war on Bitcoin. You could persecute a few individuals as examples, but it's too distributed of a thing.
You know, and one thing, you're tweeting some stuff. Yeah, Drew, what was you were running the tweets or something during the meeting, or what was going on?
Hashtag Bitcoin may not be right for you. I wasn't live tweeting or anything, but I don't think we can, in mean spirit, say this about the group last night. They were all very wonderful and very respectful, and I think they all enjoyed themselves. But as we were sort of preparing for the lion's den, as we thought this was going to be, the joke that we came up with was, what if we ask these people, you know, show of hands, take a survey, do you think the drug war is a noble and winnable cause? You know, most of these people, Alan Corman at least, would say yes. Well, Bitcoin might not be right for you. Do you think, immigration, do you think people should be allowed to cross borders and interact freely with one another? You know, well, if you don't think that, then Bitcoin might not be right for you.
And we got absurd. We got like, if you still use VHS tapes, Bitcoin might not be right for you.
If you think 2.99% is an acceptable transaction fee for doing commerce on the internet, Bitcoin might not be right for you. But I think I don't think the people there were not negative towards Bitcoin. They were open-minded and willing to learn.
They were curious. They wanted to explain to them in layman's terms so they could wrap their head around it.
They
and that's
were
good.
Upset that they couldn't understand something. It kept getting more and more popularity. It makes covers of magazines, covers of the newspapers that they read. And months before, I've been on their case about it, saying, here it comes, the next insurrection, you know, the state. This is huge. This is the money. This is what we've been, you're saying, in the Fed all this time. How'd you think that was going
to
look?
Right. So, and sort of the point to we made was this group. So the prime demographic, or early on, the early adopters of Bitcoin were 35 to 45 male, right? You know, so when you're approaching an outreach and you're trying to get more people involved in Bitcoin and not just this sort of core early adopter demographic, do you go older or younger? You go younger. Nobody really cares if you're 50 years old and you don't understand honey badger memes. Bitcoin
yeah,
might not be right for you.
What the hell is the honey badger thing?
What is the honey?
You were doing. You know, Davi sent artwork for a lot of the stuff there, and he has honey badger, and he passed out stuff. This, you know, it looked like a skunk. I mean, what the heck is
so the honey badger meme? There's a video, and it's essentially like a Discovery Channel documentary on this animal called the honey badger. But this guy named Randall did his own voiceover, and he has that very effeminate sort of like
lisp.
He has the lisp, and so it's this hilarious video of him saying like, "Oh my God, look at the honey badger! It's so crazy,
so nasty,
and it's so nasty." And this video got like millions of hits, and so
honey badger is the most fearless animal on the planet, you know, according to whoever. And
right,
so Bitcoin is the most fearless currency on the internet, so that's the comparison.
Right, so there's a billboard in Santa Clara that says Bitcoin is the honey badger of money. And the idea was that, like the honey badger, it ignores its predators. It's sort of impervious to attack. And so we jumped on that as a concept. We said, yeah, Bitcoin is the honey badger of money. And then we took Randall's whole script from the documentary and made it about Bitcoin. Bitcoin, you know, ignores national borders. And so it's free to move about as it wishes. Bitcoin, you know, it's the most fearless currency on the internet. And, you know, it's... So anyway, it's sort of it's a meme that the Bitcoin community has embraced. It's a meme that the young sort of were following for a while, and maybe the meme has passed, you know, because memes have short lifespans.
Congress wants to tax Bitcoin.
Oh, Congress wants to tax Bitcoin. Do you think Bitcoin cares? Bitcoin don't give a bit.
Right. Well, the craziness, nasty ass honey badgers.
Oh my gosh, transactions are super fast. It's so nasty. Okay, look at Bitcoin. It's distributed all over the place.
Okay, Donna's going to put it up in the first hour.
Okay.
The crazy, nasty-ass honey badger. And then I'll do that one. Go ahead and put it up so people know.
I've never seen it. Search honey badger meme Randall, and one of them says original, you know, in there, and you probably want that one. But, oh my gosh, transactions happen super fast. This is so nasty. Bitcoin's distributed all over the place, right? And Bitcoin has no regard for national borders anywhere.
Watch out, banks. Bitcoin does all the work. We don't need you anymore, stupid.
You know, the one thing that we did, there's another thing that we came up with, is I go, you know, the further you get away from, you know, civilization as they would, you know, having the rules and the regulation, the more civilized you become.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going, there's a freaking bumper sticker. You know,
that would be a good bumper sticker.
You know, what would you say? You'd say, you know, leave something and become more civilized. Leave civilization and be civilized.
It's got to be like a travel poster. Leave civilization behind and become more civilized.
Right. You know, this is we're going to pull this up. Maybe, you know, if we had the next hour, we'd get, well, Alan's coming in.
We should show it to Alan. No, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he bought him.
No. It's no.
Bitcoin might not be right for you.
You're right.
If you're Alan Korowitz, Bitcoin might not be right
for
you.
Well, you know, Alan, you can't throw him under a bus too much. He is a good friend, you know, but it's just, he's just exasperating. And one thing is, there's a big gun show called Gun Show of the West, and Bob Templeton's the owner, and he's looking for kind of a First Amendment, kind of a freedom summit. Well, mm-hmm. Judge Buttrick, John Buttrick, a Superior Court judge that went on to become a federal magistrate now, he's, a big libertarian judge. I mean, he's well known as that. He was on the National Platform Committee and on the National Committee of the Libertarian Party National. So, I mean, and ran for governor as a libertarian. It's not a secret. Well, the thing is that he's Harvard Law grad, big senior partner of the blah, blah, blah and everything. They appoint him, the governor appointed him as a judge. Get out of politics, okay? Go be a judge somewhere. Well, 10 years, he retires, becomes a federal judge. Well, he's going to be speaking at Crossroads of the West Gun Show, and where the stage is going to be, he's going to be talking, is right next where Alan has his book stand at the gun shows, you know? So it's going to be interesting. He's seeing that these gun shows, and Mark Victor's going to be speaking. I may be speaking. The thing is, it's December 7th at their big small arms thing. I mean, they have 1,200 tables. Tens of thousands of people go through this thing. And it's just, and they're looking to try and open it up more of a kind of a free speech thing. We're going to start talking philosophy and so on. And doinking the man on the sternum. Thunk, 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 thunk. You know, what's going to happen? I don't know. The whole entire world is changing. We've been going to this thing for 20 years, getting our little booth he gives us out there. And we're going to say, hello, freedom be a-coming. What's it going to look like? Al Corwin when we come back.
I'm Derek J. Today is Tuesday, November 12th, 2013. 1 ounce of silver is $21. 1 Bitcoin is $350. This episode is brought to you by friends of WeUseCoins.com. You've probably been hearing a lot about Bitcoin in the news. If you'd like to learn more about how you can use this new currency, I recommend you visit WeUseCoins.com. It's the perfect launching pad to get started. That's WeUseCoins.com. Healthcare.gov got you down? Sure, you may be no fan of Obamacare, but one of the things the site promised to do that was actually helpful was show you the prices of different plans. You want to know how much coverage costs so you can shop around for the best option for you. Well, three engineers from Silicon Valley saw the need that Healthcare.gov was failing to fulfill, and what the federal government was unable to do in 3 years, they accomplished in a weekend. HealthcareSherpa.com makes it easier to navigate the world of confusing healthcare options and find contact info to get the ball rolling on health insurance coverage. These three guys, with zero budget, did in a few days what the federal government couldn't do with a few years and $1 billion. Maybe everyone can have health care, but also, maybe the government shouldn't be in charge of it. In other news, you can now purchase sandwiches at Subway with Bitcoin. Customers in Allentown, PA have been lining up to buy their lunch with the new currency. The owner, Sapal, gave a brief video interview with his first Bitcoin customer, a man going by the name of Destroyer of Worlds on Reddit. The news appeared at the top of the Reddit page yesterday and is spreading like wildfire. How soon will it be before regular retail chains near you accept Bitcoin? Oh, and as a bonus, the owner offers a free cookie with every Bitcoin purchase. Some users are suspicious, however, that the cookies contain malware. Jacob Cook is a 23-year-old university student who is now building an operating system that anyone can use to replace all of the services that Google provides. Email, chat, file sharing, web hosting. With a new Linux-based operating system for servers called Arcos, you'll be able to run all of those essential services on a secure, private server in your own home that's about the size of a credit card. Arcos is designed to run on the popular Raspberry Pi hardware, a full-blown computer small enough to hold in your hand. Running on top of Arcos is Jacob's open-source Genesis application, which provides a web-based interface for controlling the different services running on your server. Genesis is open-source, and all the files are available on GitHub. And you can also download the Arcos files and install them for yourself. In addition to the long-term unreliability of Google's services, the recent revelations that the NSA can access so much online data gave Cook's project additional impetus. If the NSA is able to extract data from Google, Microsoft, Facebook, AOL, Twitter, and who knows what other services, who can you trust with your data? Cook said, quote, "The idea that the NSA and its global counterparts have nearly free reign in the networks of these large companies makes users a target. Moving users out into self-hosted nodes makes sense from this perspective. It makes wholesale data collection many times more difficult. And when coupled with proper cryptography and secure setups by design, it makes NSA-style snooping practically impossible. When it's complete, the Arcos project will provide users with a small device they could plug into an Ethernet port at home in order to host their own cloud services. Other secure open-source operating systems exist as well, most notably Tails. But Tails is a desktop operating system, while Arcos is for servers. Cook said, quote, "If you host your data with Arcos, then access it on your other computers with Tails, it's a winning combination." He hopes to have the framework stable enough to use by March 2014 and will continue adding features for the next year. Stay tuned to PeaceNewsNow.com for all the latest updates on the ongoing peaceful evolution. If you enjoyed the show, send some Bitcoin to donate.peacenewsnow.com.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. We have Mr. Alan Corwin on guns, save lives, national campaign, all kinds of good stuff going on. You know, we would see Alan at the meeting that we had last night. We got Davi Barker and Drew Phillips and everybody going to sit there and be quiet. You know, honey badger, don't care. So we're going to go ahead and have maybe a little bit of discussion about that. We'll talk to Alan on his opinion of that. But I tell you, the big thing was that guns save lives, is a growing into a national campaign that started here in Phoenix, and we're going to have Alan discuss that. But first, what I wanted to talk to him about, we were trying to have him on right before and help promote his participation in an event at ASU that was a Stand Your Ground Law discussion and everything, and I haven't got an update on that. And I want Alan to tell me every little old thing. Tell me what happened, man.
Well, where do I begin, Ernie? They should call you Too Much Coffee Man. There's a character like that. Have you ever seen him? It's a superhero with a head of a coffee cup, and everything he does is Too Much Coffee Man. Well, it sounds like you this early in the morning, Ernie. Nice to be with you. Yes, last week, ASU had, it was actually the American Academy for Constitutional Studies, that's Shane Krauser's group, did a continuing legal education seminar, an all-day deal down at Arizona State University, ASU, and they studied Stand Your Ground laws. Now, Stand Your Ground law is a fundamental underpinning and linchpin of the American way. If you can't stand your ground against crime or criminals, the opposite, which never shows up in the media, is runaway and hide law. So that if a criminal walked into your studio where you are right now and took out a gun and said, shoo, you would have to run away because resisting it or trying to stay where you are would become a crime. And the only reason this is happening is because the media turned the George Zimmerman self-defense trial into what they want to call the Trayvon Martin murder trial. But it was a self-defense trial. It was a self-defense law. He was acquitted. They didn't even charge him for 6 weeks because there was nothing to charge him with. They had to fire the police chief. They had to fire the prosecutor. They had to have Al Sharpton, the biggest racist in America, get on TV and yell and scream and get his rainbow people of color, or whatever they call them now, to yell and scream and bring charges where there were none. And in the midst of all this, they raised the issue of Stand Your Ground laws, which Florida actually has and Arizona, where we are, doesn't have. And now Stand Your Ground is in the national spotlight. This is a collateral attack, a tangential attack on your right to keep and bear arms. Because if they can attack your right to have self-defense, it's an attack on your right to keep and bear and use your firearms. So they held an all-day seminar on Stand Your Ground law. Now, your right to defend your life, your precious life, your God-given life, your holy, I don't even have words strong enough to defend your right to live. That's the most fundamental right there is. It's the law of the jungle. Without written law, if the tiger attacks, you can, must defend yourself. You have the option to die. Perhaps you should. Maybe some people ought to. But your right to live is paramount. And you can use anything at hand to protect yourself in that moment when you must. Should you hunt the tiger? That's your option. If the tiger's clawing at you, you can defend yourself. And law, since the first written law, has recognized this. We spent a full day looking at that, thanks to Shane Krauser and the American Academy for Constitutional Study and ASU, which put up a huge conference room, and we had about 60 people or so in it, including Bill Montgomery, the county attorney, and a couple of left-wing politicians, and a professor, Professor Bender, who's about as far left as there is, who was deceitful on stage, and I called him on it, and then somebody told me I was rude because I wouldn't let him get away with being deceitful. I thought I was diplomatic about it, but, you know, you can't let these, he's got children in his grasp for decades, and very few people to call him out. They idolize him down there, and I think he's doing a lot of harm.
Okay, now one thing you always know that comes up, they say things like you should be able to defend yourself against aggression, you know, with what? I mean, where's the line? Should it be semi-automatic and you use black pistol grip detachable magazine guns and that? And kind of, were they conceding that, yeah, you can, but only with a state-approved device? I mean, what was their rationale? What was the line?
Well, you're going even further. They're going even further than you're suggesting here. They're suggesting you're not able to defend yourself.
Are you saying that you are?
Well, I think you should be able to defend yourself.
I want my own nuke. The state comes after. I want my Hellfire missile, my Apache attack helicopter, my M1A. I don't know. What do you think? Should I be able to do that?
You're bringing in several issues here, Ernie. It's a good thing we have an hour, but I don't know if we'll squeeze it in. We never do. We've done more than an hour and couldn't squeeze it in. The Second Amendment protects small arms. If you go back to the founders, this is what infantrymen could carry. So it doesn't include a battleship. It doesn't include tactical nukes. It doesn't include crew-fired weapons. And you can make arguments about that, but we're not going to go that far. This is what an infantryman could carry, or the term today would be small arms. It's a gray line. Does it include rocket-propelled grenades? Does it include a cannon on caissons?
Well, who gets to make the decision? See, that's the thing. You're in such a position to make these arguments for us, and you get, and you really, man, you're the man. They always call you, what does Alan say?
And well, I wrote the unabridged federal gun guide, Gun Laws of America, and I wrote books on state law. You can find them at gunlaws.com, and I do know those things. But let's get to the key issue here. They don't want you to be able to defend yourself at all with a stick, which is what Britain has, which is what Massachusetts had. If you don't have stand your ground, this is what these guys were arguing for. I'm trying to remember the name of the legislator I sat next to. Not Gutierrez, Gallardo.
Steve Gallardo.
I asked him, he said, you can say Gallardo or Gallardo. In Spanish it would be Gallardo, but he said use Gallardo so that he casts me as a white American instead of a Hispanic. But Gallardo would argue against it, I think, because you might harm the criminal. And you're being aggressive or you're being dangerous to another human being who's trying to kill you. But they would stop you, the Eleanor Eisenberg, the old ACLU director, who wouldn't want violence in any fashion. So if a criminal comes in with a gun, you should run away. You should go out the back door and turn over your private property and your home to a criminal. That is not the American way, but that's what the British require. You can't defend yourself. So no gun, which is the ultimate goal of the left. Only the state should be able to use force.
You know, when we come back, we're going to hit break here real quick. I want to find out, you know, how large the audience was. How were they divided? Who were they for? What was the end result? And then we're going to get right into guns save lives. This has been, they had to file suit. You know, there had to be, you're not allowed to put that message on the bus stop posters. You're not allowed to have that billboard. We're the city, and we say that is verboten. Really? Thanks for the publicity. Now it's going nationwide. More with Alan Corwin when we come back. Freedom Summit 2014, this February in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. This summit has been crafted to provide a glimpse of the future and how best to position yourself and your loved ones as we transition away from authoritarianism to a voluntarist society. Don't be surprised. Be informed, be entertained, and network with Generation Next, the inheritors of the future that are already creating the infrastructure of tomorrow today. Details at freedomsummit.com.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Hello. You know, I did not know that this was coming up this close. The Gun Save Lives trial case. There is a case that Alan is inviting us to go participate in our presence and say hello. And this, I remember that there was a lawsuit. I remembered. I thought you had already prevailed. You know what's going on with the lawsuit there, Alan?
Okay, Gun Save Lives is an expression a lot of people have used. And we made a red heart logo that says Gun Save Lives. We give out stickers at the gun shows, and we have buttons, and it's all over the country. We put up Gun Save Lives advertisements at bus stops all over Phoenix. It was an $11,000 contract. We reached 1.5 million people a day or more when you count the billboards as well. The city of Phoenix tore these down. Now, the bus stops are owned by Phoenix, and CBS Outdoor manages the advertising. They approve the ads. They put up the things. They were up 3 years ago, Ernie, we had these up. And the city of Phoenix tore them down after 9 days. We had them up for a 3 or 4 month contract. They tore them down. It's a free speech violation, and the Goldwater Institute is suing the city of Phoenix, excuse me, on free speech, due process, and equal protection grounds under the 14th Amendment and the First Amendment. And this goes to trial on December 3rd.
And ACLU came on board. What up with that and a gun issue thing, man? How'd that happen?
Well, the ACLU is an amicus in the case, and if you want to see this happen on December 3rd in Phoenix at the appellate court, go to gunlaws.com, put your name in on the home page, and I'll be sending out a note with the name, address, time. It's 9:30 in the morning at the appellate court in Phoenix. You can attend. It's a big courtroom. We would love to have people there. The pressure on the court will help. They don't want us to say, guns save lives, educate your kids. And the city tore it down. It goes to oral argument December 3rd. Now, this has become a big national brouhaha, and the ACLU joined because they want to be able to say things on bus stops 6 feet high, illuminated at night, right in your face when you drive, and it's big time. If you go to gunlaws.com, there's a button on the right-hand side for the Train Me Arizona campaign, and you can read all about the case, read every briefing, see the signs, and see what we're doing now. We were able to get the city to put up signs now that are all over Phoenix that say, guns stop crime on a blue heart, educate yourself. And it's a tiny little nit in the way the law is written and their guidelines. So we have blue signs that say, guns stop crime, but we can't put up our red signs that say, guns save lives.
Because?
It's a tiny little detail. They say that a public bus stop is a non-public venue.
Okay.
I know, it's ridiculous.
But I mean, how would they, I mean, I don't care what justification they're using, I wonder what their reasoning is. You know, a blue sign that says,
guns stop crime, instead of a red sign that says guns save lives.
Okay, and the difference is what? In their mind, they say, you can say this, but not that, because why?
Well, there's little text on the sign, too, for people who are waiting for the bus. And the little text on the other sign says, guns are good. Oh, that's a public service announcement. We can't be bothered with that kind of speech out in public. So the new signs basically say, buy guns. And that's a proposed commercial transaction, and that we're forced to allow, even though we don't want to. It's more complex than that, but we were able to force the issue and get these new signs up.
You know, this is one thing, Alan, I want to...
They're telling us what we can say.
Yeah, this is where... You know, you remember me pushing the authoritarian sociopathy thing that Davi was doing? And another book, a friend of mine, you know, like mandated that I read this book. It's called David and Goliath. And it was by Malcolm Gladwell. And it was very interesting. And in the end of it, the point that he was making was, you know, the small guy, you know, kicks ass always and get over it. But, you know, it was the loss of the respect of authority when they are unjust, when they're just, you know, random, when they're not consistent, when they do stupid things like this.
That's right.
They lose their legitimacy in the minds of the people.
That's the 14th Amendment equal protection and due process clause. You can't tell what's allowed and what's not. And the real bottom line, if you get out of the legal mumbo-jumbo, they want to arbitrarily and capriciously decide, you can say this, but you can't say that. And over the telephone, they told me, this is controversial, and we don't want to allow you to say it. Well, screw that. You can't decide what we're going to say or not. And the real key here is, this is a coalition of the firearms industry standing up and saying, guns are good, guns stop crime, guns save lives. We're saying it publicly because the damn airwaves are filled with nonsense and tripe and convincing people that we ought to take the guns away, and that's your public news. And here on a public bus stop, they want to say that's not a public venue. That's what the ACLU's brief is about. The idea that a public bus stop is a non-public venue, this forum analysis, as it's called legally, has to go. And that's what's on trial December 3rd. You can read the briefs. They're in English. It's fascinating. Go to gunlaws.com. There's a Train Me Arizona button on the right that gives you all the details and all the pictures, and you can sign up for the news, and you can show up at the case December 3rd and read all about it and see it for yourself, history being made. And this is what I'm doing instead of running my damn business and selling the Arizona Gun Owner's Guide so people can know what the gun laws are. Because if you knew what your rights were, you might demand them. And that's what I do, and that's why I'm on your show. And that's where Gun Save Lives is at. And there's very few people doing this, and we need more of your listeners to get active. Some of them sit and listen. Some of them are active like you, Ernie. And we're in a fight for freedom here.
You know, this is where, you know, we overlap a lot, Alan and I, but we have a little bit different view on a lot of things. And what I tell you, the big thing is that, you know, it's a principle with us, and you'll go, yeah, well, the Second Amendment says this and the small arms that, and you're going to, I'm like, if I happen to, I'm being threatened by the whatever, and I happen to have my thermonuke available in my garage, you know, I get to use it. You know, that's my, you know, bring me my attack, Apache attack helicopter with the Hellfire or whatever. But the thing is I know what I'm up against. Having the moral right to defend your life with any and everything is not the same as, you know, surviving having that ability. But they want to lower the ability down to nothing, a butter knife or anything. Or
you're
just,
right.
Just like the Manchurian candidate where kill him. And the guys don't even resist. They're like, you know, so you're just supposed to, you know, die for the state and the demonstration of we rule you. And I'm so this is where Alan comes in. Dumbing it down, getting everybody to understand what the real issue, at least with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and having that argument, and he does a good job. We'll be right back.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
As you brush your shoes, you stand before your mirror, and you comb your hair, grab your coat and hat.
You know, stand before the mirror, and you got to look at this.
Hello.
Oh, it's not that bad. The one thing I wanted to make sure I tell the audience, you know, the video on Channel 3 is not, it's not clear. We got to get a new video card. What we're going to go ahead and do is I wanted to, in the last segment, talk to Alan about, you know, a couple of things. And there is the Gun Save Lives campaign is not just Arizona. It got a lot of attention. You know, it's whenever the man does bad, stupid stuff, it always gives you, you know, a little extra press. It gives you a little bit more money. Gets you, because here in Arizona, the concealed carry permit process, you know, it was kind of a result of a culture shift that we, you know, we did a concealed carry initiative in 94. That's where SAFE was born. Second Amendment is for everyone. And we, are you a safe legislator or an unsafe legislator? You know, that kind of thing. And what happened was it changed the culture to where now it's like, of course we have unrestricted concealed carry, but the gun industry made a boatload of money off the requirement that you get gun training. Now, Alan made a, you know, a transition to these guys. He's going, look, you know, what if you had everybody understanding they need training? Oh, and by the way, you don't need to be on a government list. And you can get training, and you can train your children, and you could get more skills, and you can defend your life. What about that? There might be a market for that. Yes, there is. Well, that's exactly what the politicians back there, hell no. We don't want, we want them to die and leave, kind of like New York and Massachusetts. So by doing this, all of a sudden, it's a national campaign that on the day, I think it's December 14th, they have Sandy Hook, kind of Bloomberg doing his big whatever day. So let them have that. Then the next day, what's December 15th? Bill of Rights Day. Which is, I'm, you know, did they do that on purpose, Alan? They, like the day before, they just didn't realize it? You know, how did this come about?
Just happenstance, Ernie. Just fortuitous. Just the way cards fell. December 15th is Bill of Rights Day. December 14th is the anniversary of the psychotic murderer killing people in Sandy Hook. And although they don't want to admit it, they're trying to deny it, the president, or let me say the man currently sitting in the White House, and Mayor Bloomberg are planning a 50-state celebration of the Sandy Hook tragedy, and they plan to use that. It's a thinly veiled political agenda to promote the denial of rights to the entire country, the denial of your right to keep and bear arms, using the Sandy Hook tragedy as a lever, as a wedge, to work on denial of rights and to take your gun rights away. And December 14th, you will see all 50 states with staged demonstrations funded with money from outside sources to promote anti-rights agendas nationwide. And they're working on it. They're having meetings in the White House every week with all the anti-rights groups getting together, and they're staging this on December 14th. So led by the Second Amendment Foundation and Alan Gottlieb and some other groups, they're planning Gun Save Lives Day on December 15th. They were going to do it on the same day, and I'm sure they'll be present when the anti-rights demonstrations take place or the commemoration, but it's really a celebration. They'll be dancing in the blood of victims and using that to say we got to take all the guns away, and Dianne Feinstein and Charles Schumer and the usual suspects will be out. December 15th is Gun Save Lives Day, and there will be billboards up and counter demonstrations saying guns save lives, guns stop crime, guns protect you, guns are why America is still free, and promoting the social utility and value of firearms. And they have adopted the big red heart that says guns save lives that the city of Phoenix censored that we're going to court on December 3rd will be the central logo of Gun Save Lives on December 15th. And you can learn about that as well if you go to gunlaws.com, sign up right on the home page, and I'll add you to my email list. It's a private list. Nobody gets it but me. Although, as you know, the NSA watches everything everybody's doing these days.
Yeah. Okay, now let's go ahead and go back to the sign. It says, visit trainmeaz.com. Okay, what's that?
Trainmeaz.com is a coalition of the firearms industry in the state of Arizona. Like you said, when we found out, when we finally, after 16 years, passed no permit carry, and I noticed you said concealed carry, Ernie. We don't say that anymore. We talk about discreet carry. Because concealed sounds like you're hiding something.
I am. I get it.
You know, it sounds like you're doing something wrong. We carry discreetly because that's the civilized norm. So if you're carrying discreetly, You don't need no stinking permission slip.
Thank you. Well, I've been screaming all this time for 16 years. Well, Ernie, you don't have it. I go, yeah, and I ain't getting it neither, okay?
And you don't want to be in the National Criminal Database, which is what they do to you.
Oh, no, I'm on all databases. I just didn't want to help them.
But I hear you. But
I want to ask, I want to bring this in. Davi Barker came in from San Jose to do the Bitcoin thing last night that you missed, by the way. We'll talk about that later.
Was it crowded? Ernie, was it crowded?
It was packed. It was maxed out. It was 30-something people. They only go to 30. Yeah, it was a good time. You'll talk to the guys, man. You missed something.
I was at the leadership conference. It can't be everywhere.
Okay. Now, this is what happened. Davi comes into town, and he sees your signs. Okay, Davi, tell him your experience.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's fabulous. So I'm from California, right? And in California, it's a socialist utopia, right? But anyway, so
dystopia.
The moment that I saw your sign at a bus stop, I knew I was in a different culture. I knew immediately, like, that sign does not go up in California. And so from my perspective, I'm like, ooh, I feel a little safer here, right? Like, this is a gun-carrying culture.
See, that's one thing they don't want. Is when someone goes up, they feel safer or freer. That feeling in the chest, that kind of, you know, elation, that weight that kind of starts lifting from you, you know, that's exactly the feeling they don't want.
That's
right.
The goal. That's our goal.
So, I mean,
yell into the microphone for me, Alan. I'm losing you.
Okay. Well, I said that's the goal.
So I just want to say, you know, as a newbie to this campaign, I didn't know anything about this billboard. I didn't know. I just saw it. I'm a newcomer to Arizona who just saw it at a bus stop. And I immediately felt a little more at home, you know, so that's the effect you're having.
Welcome, Davi. We love it. And the people in the state love it. And they support our effort. And the firearms industry in this state has joined together to promote the social utility and value of firearms. You don't need no stinking permission slip. And although you're here from California, Ernie could lend you a gun. You could put it in your pocket, walk around town, and you're not subject to arrest. What a concept.
Well, he doesn't need me to lend them. They're kind of laying around all over here. He's like,
yeah, I've noticed that too.
Yeah, he looks at it and he goes, God, man, you got a gun everywhere. I'm going, oh, yeah, that's right. There's one there too. And there's one over there. And there's
you
one over there.
You can think of guns in this state like books. First and Second Amendment are almost parallel. If you can own a book, you can own a gun. If you can carry the book, you can carry the gun. If you can put the book in your briefcase, you can put the gun in your briefcase. The gun is constitutionally protected property. It is the only constitutionally protected property, and we recognize that here in Arizona. Well, when that law passed in 2010, constitutional carry, the industry, and I was one of the instigators here, I said everybody ought to learn gun safety, not just the 2% willing to bow and scrape for a permission slip. Guns are dangerous. You ought to learn gun safety. So we got together and trained me Arizona, or TrainMeAZ.com, is a campaign to teach gun safety to everybody.
Okay, now, Alan, I want to ask you this. How hard was it? Because whenever we go to the retailers, the gun community, or the industry and so on, they are not as apt to be all big, giant, rights-oriented kind of thing. I think you had to appeal to their commercial qualities, you know, because the rights thing, it's not, because they're afraid of the BATF and the government coming to. How hard a sell was this?
It's not easy, but the big players were willing to say, let's do it, pony up significant money, and put up those billboards.
Excellent, excellent. And the battle, and of course, you couldn't have, you know, I'm sure you had to pay off or give a big wet one to some government bureaucracy to say, no, you can't do this, you can't. You go, single. Well, nationally, December 15th happens to be Bill of Rights Day, happens to be the day after the Sandy Hook celebrations. I mean, serendipity. James Babb, Davi Barker, John Bush, Catherine Bleich, John Buttrick, Tim Fry, Will Grigg, Charles Goyette, Anthony Gregory, Richard Grove, Ernest Hancock, Rosa Corey, Greg Peterson, Larkin Rose, Paul Rosenberg, Butler Schaefer, Frank Tamburi, Taryn Lupo, Mark Victor, Cody Wilson, all speakers at Freedom Summit 2014. Check it out, freedomsummit.com. Okay, Alan, anything else you want to do before we bash you on Bitcoin?
You want to bash me on Bitcoin?
Well, you get to bash Bitcoin, same thing.
I don't have enough substantive material to bash you on bitcoins. I'll listen. I'll ask.
Okay, well, then, you know, we'll just, you know, because you weren't there. You know, everybody giving us crap, you know. And then you need to talk to the guys. I think they were impressed. You know, a lot of the guys came and they got their own Bitcoin wallet. And we're doing it today here at the farm here from 3 to 9, just people coming in and doing, they're just coming by and we're setting them up and just so they got it and doing it.
You mean
and,
out at your place they're getting, what's a Bitcoin wallet?
It's just an app you put on your phone. I mean, you could do it yourself at home, but you know a lot of people just want to be walked through it. Takes about 5 seconds. But
well, I'll sit and listen in for the next few minutes if you want.
No, but just you know, mention. We'll get back to whatever. Is there some other stuff you want to make sure we get on?
Well, you covered it. You could plug me one more time. That would be nice. You know, I'm not a fan of Bitcoins. It's an interesting fad. The government's going to shut it down if it gets anywhere. Right now, it's a fringe lunatic scheme. You know, I think that. You know, a lot. The guys gave you a lot of shit about it last night.
Not really. I mean, you know, they asked questions and everything, but it was overwhelmingly supportive. I mean, at least it was, they were inquisitive and just wanted to know. See, the one thing I think a lot of people didn't really, what happened, Roy Miller had Rose Law Firm takes Bitcoins. And they have one of the attorneys come there and talk about, yeah, we take Bitcoins, you know, because they convert into cash and do, you know, whatever. And that kind of surprised people. And he made the point, and I emphasize, I don't think people understood it. Bitcoin is just an information encrypted ownership of, which is not limited to, Bitcoins. The same protocol can replace the county recorder's office to where everybody has ownership of their property that is part of this blockchain thing, and it can be used to replace government at every level. And they, once they understood that and it was explained to them, they're going, wow. And if you read the article that was in Reason Magazine on the digital gun, the 3D printed gun, and Bitcoin, they did a really good job, Brian Doherty, of explaining all of this. And anyone that read that, they're like, holy crap, I had no idea. I'm going, look, man, I'm telling you, you guys don't understand what's going on here. This is much bigger than people realize. So
I didn't get to read the Reason article. I saved it. It's in my inbox with 400 other emails.
All right, here we go. Yeah, no, you need to read it.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
You grew up tall and proud in the shadow.
Parker, Drew Phillips sitting in, Jonathan, Donna, Gina, everybody, you know, we working hard at Freedom Fact. You know, one of the other, you know, hard workers for certainly gun rights, Mr. Alan Corwin, Gun Save Lives. Now, Alan, go ahead and give us, you know, I want to make sure before we get into it, go ahead and give out the web pages. There's so many things that you're involved in. We have, go ahead and rattle them off, all the web pages that they need to have, make note of, and then go to the archive show today for November, whatever the heck it is. And Donna, let me look at that, 14th. Thursday, November 14th, 2013, you go look in the archive, then you'll see all the links to all the stuff Donna's putting up. So go ahead and go to the audience and say where they need to go.
Well, the real key, if you're working on gun rights, is to go to gunlaws.com, gunlaws.com. You can send me an email. You can sign up for news. I get news nobody else gets. Ernie was talking about plastic guns. The plastic gun law, the invisible gun law, expires on December 3rd. And Congress hasn't done anything about it. Both houses of Congress are going to have to pass a federal gun law. That should be a very interesting battle. And the news hasn't even broken anywhere. What in the hell are they going to do about that?
Wait. What gun laws they got to pass?
The undetectable gun law from 1988 expires on December 3rd. That's a full-blown federal gun law that's going to have to be reenacted.
Are they making an attempt to reenact it?
There are two bills drafted back in April, one for the House, one for the Senate. They're not the same, and nothing's been done. And you know what it is to get a gun law through Congress. Both houses have to pass a gun law. They'll attract every kind of wacky amendment, and if they don't pass it, and there's no ban on undetectable firearms.
Okay, what did you want to say, Drew?
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Corwin. So this law that you're referring to is the reason that this new 3D printed plastic gun that you referred to, the people who made that, they are putting a piece of useless metal into the gun so that it complies with this law, so that if you go through a metal detector with a plastic gun, there's a piece of metal in it, therefore the metal detector goes off. How does that come in, and what is your opinion on that? That plastic gun.
The undetectable gun law says that the gun must be as detectable as something called a security exemplar, which is 3.7 ounces of stainless steel.
Which is what they put in it.
And it has to be at least that detectable. Now, a metal detector can sense your belt buckle.
Well, see, that's one thing, Alan, I was worried about. I'm going, what the hell? Why does this gun look squaring like a toy? Well, that was intentional. Cody Wilson designed it that way so it looked like a toy, so that it had that big square box and it had metal in it, could be detectable. The point was not the gun. It was the idea of, you know, how they couldn't stop it. And what just happened, I don't know if you saw this, last week they printed a metal 1911 45 handgun shooting at semi-automatic. Done. It's over.
I love it.
Done. Have you seen that? Did you see it?
They can use sintered metal in a 3D printer. The 3D printer is going to change things like the cell phone did, like digital did, like computers did. The 3D printer is a game changer beyond your ability to comprehend. But the interesting thing here is that December 3rd, the same day as our oral argument on the Gun Save Lives censorship case, which has national implications, and may even end up in the Supreme Court, but I think it'll get settled lower, and you can attend on December 3rd. Go to gunlaws.com to sign up and find out about it. On December 3rd, the undetectable gun law federal bill from 1988 expires, and both houses of Congress have to pass a bill to extend it, and the president has to sign it. And getting gun bills through Congress is one heck of a battle, and it would have to be a very clean bill. All they really need to do is change the number 25 in that bill, which is the years it expires in, which will be December 3rd, and change that to, say, 35, so that it'll expire 10 years from now. But they won't do that. And they'll want to make it, the draft they came up with in April makes undetectable magazines a part of the bill, so the bill expands. And it doesn't include ammo. Ammo's made out of metal. Plastic bullets, who cares? So they're going to have to add undetectable ammo, in my opinion.
See, all this is such a waste of time, because sooner or later it's going to be handheld railgun, phaser, projectile, radar-sinking missile bullets.
I'm waiting for a Class 3 officer's phaser, like in Star Trek, but that doesn't matter, because look what the guy did to the TSA agent. He walked into the unprotected part of the airport. When I'm standing in the one-hour line to go through security, you think that's a good place to put a bomb or pull out a gun if you're a terrorist?
No, it's all just pretend.
That's
security.
Right.
We know this. And that's why, you know, you and I know we differ on a lot of things. And a lot of it is the approach with the media. And you got to be nice and you use the right terminology. And, you know,
Media is one of the greatest enemies of freedom in the country.
And I say bypass them. Screw them, man. It's a culture thing. And
you can't. The media sets the dialogue and sets the narrative. And you have to fight uphill against them. I know you don't see that or anybody.
Well, no, I see you got to become your own media. I don't try and convince them. I want to convince the people. And the best way to do that is like you're doing with the billboard. I'm so glad that you've taken it from, you know, lobbying legislators, you know, only, and taking it straight to the street, and you lobby the people. That's where the changes last.
It's absolutely key, and that is what we're doing. But these bills, you're right, don't matter, because people will find a way around them. You don't have to get past security to attack an airport, and these people don't realize it. But we're in for one hell of an interesting battle when this law goes away and the media hasn't addressed it. And you ask what's happening, gunlaws.com, that's what we do. We find these things. The public is finding more on the web than they are anywhere else.
Well, it's more about just, you know, guns. It's everything. You know, it's just, you know, resilient, I don't care, come after me all you want, you know, honey badger meme, okay?
Well, my December 3rd case is not about guns. It's about free speech, equal protection, and due process. You can't tell what the government will allow you to say. That's why the ACLU is in the case. case. I think they wish it wasn't about guns, but
yeah,
it
what was it? What in your estimation? What do you think the deal was at the city? What they think the result was going to be? I mean, whenever you mess with the Second Amendment, first off, and then the first. I mean, did they think this through? I mean, what were they thinking was going
to
happen?
It's government. They don't think things through. They went, I don't want them to say this. We own the billboards. Tear it down and screw them. They're not going to fight with City Hall. And then what happened was the Institute for Justice, Liberty Watch in Washington, and the Goldwater Institute all came to us and said, let us sue the city on your behalf. And we signed with the Goldwater Institute.
And you go,
the
okay.
Sharp Norton Center for Constitutional Litigation came to us and said, we want to sue the city. This is a First Amendment case. We can make good law, and we can shove it to them. And 3 years later, they're still running their legal clock, and the city's going to owe them a fortune if we win the case.
Yes, this is, it's decentralized kind of. That brings us in the last minute here, Bitcoin. Okay, I know you're a big critic of it. Give your elevator speech on your opinion of Bitcoin.
Well, what I've read about Bitcoin, it's a fringe effort to steal control of monetary policy from the government.
Yay.
I don't see it succeeding.
Why?
It's an interesting approach. I don't know enough about it to make an intelligent argument. You're going to have an expert on. Let him make the argument and see if you can convince me. If you get anywhere with it, the feds are going to clamp down on you hard, as they already have.
Yeah, they try, and it doesn't. Dunny Badger don't care. I mean, it's just, it just keeps going.
If it helps control the federal government and bring them back into check, I'm in favor of it. We're trying to
bring them anywhere. Just ignore them. You ignore government enough, they go away.
Well, they're not going away on my signs. I still don't have those red heart signs up.
In the mind.
Not in your mind, Ernie. Not in my mind. The signs aren't up.
Oh, well, I've seen signs up. Oh, it's a different one, the blue one.
Yeah, I can't get the red ones up, although I'm working on a way around that, too. We can put up these signs and swap the heart and keep the different small text. We're working on it. And we'll have billboards up on private property that say Guns Save Lives with a red heart and Guns Save Lives Day, and it's different. It won't be on city property.
You want to give them a big wet one, slip them a little bit of cash and say, thank you for being stupid, and it's just, I'm really glad that this has worked out. Because seriously, how could this have gotten any better when you got the ACLU on your side? Seriously. So this, real quick, talk about the national effort, that going to look like.
December 15th, go to gunlaws.com, you'll get the whole story. I hear you closing music.
Alan Corwin, Guns Save Lives. Yep, gunlaws.com. You can get all the goodies there. Alan is a big Second Amendment advocate for us here. We appreciate all the work he does. We just try to keep him on the, going towards that anarchist thing a little bit, and we're making some progress. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And you don't need me. You can do it yourself. No government forms. Let me tell you another independence declaring kind of I don't need a form. Megan Kellison. Now, Megan, she is the winner of the Soapbox Idol at Pork Fest 10, and she did a great job. And she's like, you know, I'd love to play that video a lot of her, but we got to get down to some other goodies. She was, Drew has said, hey, man, you got to have Megan on, and a gentleman, Jason King. We have them both on. They're going to be talking about a project, and we brought this up last night at the Bitcoin presentation, is that, you know, like free aid. They just say, hey, you know, those people, Typhoon, we kind of need, boom, done, Bitcoin sent money, done. Done, 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 done. Another philanthropic effort out of Pensacola, Florida, they've done that's had, and this is the speed and the ease and not losing a bunch of money to some middleman taking the whatever. We're just, you know, here we go. And I want Megan to go ahead and explain that. Megan, help us out understand what's going on.
All right. Well, I first heard about Sean's Outpost a few months ago, and it's actually what kind of inspired me to get more involved with Bitcoin. Just, you know, seeing what Jason was doing, accepting Bitcoin, feeding the homeless, and also documenting it all, too. I mean, you could see the pictures of the lunches and you know, seeing everything he was doing. So, yeah, so Drew had me interview him for Bitcoin Not Bombs, and yeah, I've been involved ever since.
You know,
since,
that was so. Another thing they brought up that I thought was really interesting, is they go, you know, how many lunches can a Bitcoin buy? So there's like a website you can go and it says one Bitcoin buys this many lunches. Now it buys, you know, a gazillion more lunches. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, Jason, would you want to explain that?
Yeah, go ahead, Jason. Tell us about how that worked.
Yeah, it's basically when we analyze all of our costs, it comes down to that we can feed one person for around $1.25. So it's actually a pretty simple conversion. You just, you know, divide that by the price of Bitcoin. And so when we first started, we could feed 40 meals per Bitcoin. And I think we're at 267 right now, or probably higher than that. I'd have to
the
go
exchange
actually
rate
again,
is so. Like a lot more.
Yeah, it's a lot more. So Bitcoin's definitely helped us out a lot.
Well, go ahead and let's talk about, you know, how this started. You know, skip to the end. I'll tell you, you know, one thing that we have now is that as a refuge for homeless people, they want to, hey, man, you know, it's like it's not a crime to be homeless. And we have 9 acres. Tell us about that. How did that come about that you're actually and is it known by the community there in Pensacola? They got a beat on what you're doing. Go ahead and explain to the audience what you're doing.
So it's kind of funny that you would say that right now, because I think that we were kind of under the radar, but the Pensacola Independent, which is like sort of the largest free paper in Pensacola, just ran an amazing article on us today that says all about Satoshi Forest. So I don't think that we're going to not be known for much longer. So Satoshi Forest, it actually is pretty much illegal to be homeless in Pensacola. The county, I mean, the city here passed ordinance. It's a no camping ban, which basically makes it illegal for you to be sleeping on public property with any sort of anything to keep you warm, a blanket, a tent, camping equipment, all of that like becomes a crime. And they can literally just come to a park and arrest you for basically being poor. So we have a huge homeless problem here. We have over 1,000 homeless in the Escambia County area, and we don't have any shelters. Like, it's not like it was a situation where we had tons of shelters and these were dudes that were just deciding to stay in the street. We don't have anywhere for them to go, and they criminalized this act anyway. Sean's Outpost, the charity that I run, we've been feeding homeless people since February, and when these ordinances came out, we knew that it was going to be a huge impact on the people around here. So we just kind of set out to try to find some place for them to go, you know, anywhere. Just like an old, you know, maybe we could buy an old house or an old plot of land or just somewhere where they would have a sort of a safe space to be. And just serendipitously, we came across this great 9-acre parcel sort of in the middle of Pensacola. And we were actually able to get a mortgage on the property in Bitcoin. So we pay the person that we bought it from is holding the mortgage for us, and we pay him directly in Bitcoin. There's no fiat being used. And so now we actually have a 9-acre homeless sanctuary in the middle of Pensacola where the police have no jurisdiction. I mean, they can't come in and arrest someone just for being homeless, because Sean's Outpost is a private organization, and we privately have said that it's completely okay if you were homeless to go hang out there.
Okay, now one of the things that I know Megan was talking about, she's saying, you know, there's actually, you know, things that you can do. And one of the things, of course, is homeless people being able to build their own home. What a concept. And, you know, tell us, talk to us about this micro home thing.
Yeah, so, you know, it's I guess it's like the parable, right? You know, give a man a fish, he eats for, you know, eats for a day. Teach a man a fish, he eats for his whole life. So, you know, a lot of these guys just need a hand up, you know. And so in Pensacola, we have a lot of homeless carpenters and construction workers, because they were transient workers who came here when Hurricane Ivan destroyed Pensacola. And I mean, Hurricane Ivan destroyed Pensacola. And these people came to our aid. They came from all over the country to help rebuild Pensacola. And then when all the work dried up, we didn't have anything for them. We didn't have help or aid for them to get back to wherever they came from. So a large portion of that population just became homeless. They're still on the street. So in talking to the
So they built everybody else's house except theirs.
Right, exactly. I mean, so in talking to these guys, that was sort of the narrative line that just kept coming up. Hey, I'm out of work, construction worker. Hey, I came down here from Tennessee to do that. Hey, and I was like, well, dude, like, how much cooler does it get than to, like, hire a homeless day laborer to build a house for another homeless person? And so that's kind of what we started doing. We're calling them bit houses. They're, you know, tiny house movement, tumbleweed house sort of. There's basically a utility trailer that you build just a very modest home on. And we thought that we could do it, and we raised some funds, and we got some people involved. And
raised funds? How'd you raise funds? What'd you do?
Bitcoin, man.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, tell me how that went. You decided, you know, how did this get to the community? Because, you know, you have a lot of good people looking for an opportunity to demonstrate that, you know, without the state. Matter of fact, we did one of our covers. Go to Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenixezine.com. And you'll get access to all of our magazines. And about a few editions ago, the cover was, what would happen when you had a natural disaster? What would you anarchists do if you didn't have FEMA to stop people from helping people? Okay? So what we had is a cover, and it had, you know, here comes the medical care as a free aid airship. You had the power airship. You had the free talk sat. I mean, you know, you had the communication. You had cop block security. You had safe, you know, armaments. You had the voluntarist bulldozer. Look, it would happen. And you demonstrated, you proved it would happen. It happened. How did it happen? You say, look, we have this problem. We have this opportunity. We want to demonstrate that we're a philanthropic kind of minded individuals, and you put it out there. Tell us what happened. How'd you do it?
So I don't know if we've actually put this out yet on the show, but Sean's Outpost is essentially completely funded by cryptocurrency. We don't really take fiat donations. Like, we're pretty much 100% funded by Bitcoin and Litecoin donations. So we're heavily involved in the Bitcoin cryptocurrency community, and basically we just go on and we tell people what we're interested in doing, or we can actually just outline a problem, say, hey, here's a problem, we'd like to do something with it, and you know, the community just responds.
This is a great story. Now, when we come back, all we'll go ahead and do is kind of, you know, what's the future? How's it going? You know, and what they're going to do. And I'm very interested in, hey, man, you're homeless, come here. A lot of times, you know, you got, you know, a lot of good people, they just, you know, need help, but you know, you might have some bad people too. I mean, you know, what about the drug addicts and the alcoholics and the, you know, the pedophiles and the bad people? Do you sort them out? Do you make any kind of determination? What, you know, I don't know. We're gonna find out. Freedom Summit 2014 will be held in Phoenix, Arizona from Friday, February 14th through Sunday, February 16th at the Sheraton Crescent Resort. Details at freedomsummit.com. The Freedom Summit, where the great minds of the modern freedom movement come together. Since 2001, the Freedom Summit has annually featured the best and the brightest minds detailing our current status of freedom. The Freedom Summit has featured many of the rising stars of the Liberty Movement before they were proven right. Our list of speakers are now well known to the Liberty Movement, and they accurately predicted what
is now common knowledge to many of us. But now what? The 2014 Freedom Summit has been crafted to provide a glimpse of the future and how best to position yourself and your loved ones as we transition away from authoritarianism to a voluntarist society. We are now preparing for what comes next. Don't be surprised. Be informed, entertained, and network with Generation Next, the inheritors of the future that are already creating the infrastructure of tomorrow. Learn more at freedomsummit.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Studios of Freedoms with an S, Freedoms Phoenix. Now, Satoshi Forest, I want to know more about that. I need to know where to go. You know, help me out that with that, Jason. You know, where do I go to find out more information about Satoshi Forest?
So seansoutpost.com, S-E-A-N-S outpost.com. We'll give you some information and just Google it. Just Google Satoshi Forest. You'll be overwhelmed by the amount of information.
Not everybody knows how to spell Satoshi.
I guess I forget that. You know, everybody in my community.
S-A-T-O-S-H-I.
Yes.
Okay. S-A-S-A-T-O-S-H-I. No, it's Satoshi. No, is it Toshi? See what I mean? You know?
I hear you.
Sean's Outpost.
Sean'sOutpost.com. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
So this is, let's go ahead and talk about, you know, the concept behind this, the home building, the food producing, the shelter, you know, providing, the, you know, using of Bitcoin in the community, a voluntarist, bypassing the state demonstration. We got a natural disaster. We'll just take care of it and screw you. And even when we donate to people in freaking Philippines, this is an enormous danger to the man. How do you see that, Megan?
Oh, I think it's great. I mean, I think a lot of people, we kind of saw during the government shutdown that a lot of these government agencies were irrelevant anyway. And especially when it comes to housing codes and stuff like that, they're more often a hindrance to people who are just trying to survive too. So I really like the idea of the micro houses being built on trailer hitches, because it's like, okay, you know, we have these housing codes, but you can kind of work around them. And yeah, I mean, if you're growing your own food and you're building your own house and you have land to do all of this on, yeah, it does make the state irrelevant. And but it's a very nonviolent way to do it too. I mean, you don't have to like grab a bunch of, you know, pitchforks and guns and be like, we're going to storm City Hall. You just ignore City Hall.
Okay, let me tell you one thing. I don't know if you guys know. I understood the power of this little micro home thing and so on. So what happens is there's a lot of, you know, derelict boats and so on. And they just want to get rid of the boat. Can I get rid of this boat? And some of them are dual axle boats and have, I don't want the boat. I want the trailer. And the trailers are large for some of these boats. I mean, but you're still trailer hitch pull, and these boats are heavy. So the homes, you can make them in such a way that they're not as heavier than a boat. So you can tow your little micro home around. And the HOPE system, H2OPE systems, it stands for water, purification, energy. And it runs our aquadome out there. And I tell you, you have these rollout, you know, it's like 15 foot long, about a foot wide, solar panels. I got 300 watts of power out there and battery back. It'll run 3 days with no sun out there doing this. And it has pressurized water and filter and alkaline water and reverse osmosis water and UV filtered and done carbon, whatever the heck. And here it is. Your entire, and it's in a suitcase. You can carry it in a case, or I have the larger version, but you just, you know, marry that as part of your micro home. You got all your utilities there, done, boom shakalaka boom. And the ones that won't leave us alone, they're like, oh hell no. And they got an entire freedom oriented Generation Next community using Bitcoin that's going out and saying hello in Pensacola. Now that's one thing I want to know from you guys. I asked Jason this. Jason, you're the community that you have, the infrastructure, the police and so on, you know, they're starting to find out you got 9 acres doing this. I don't know. Are they going to be supportive of this? Are they behind? Yeah, that's a good little Boy Scout thing out there. You go ahead and do that. That's a good idea. Or are they in opposition to you?
Oh, well, the government here is complete in opposition to it. So they have, you know, there's, the economy's horrible down here. And so in American society, we need to have someone to blame. So instead of blaming, you know, that you have a terrible business that's not sustainable, what they do is they say, well, if the homeless are a blight, and, you know, if tourists came here and didn't see homeless, they would see, you know, they would spend more money, which is just an absurd assertion to make.
Well, they should be happy that you're, you know, putting them on a plate and giving them an opportunity to provide for them. They don't need them, and they're over there making, and then, damn it, they got a bunch of slave labor making food competing with, you know, Safeway.
So you point out, Jason, that literally, you know, so it's a war on homelessness from the bureaucrats, and they pass the same law where I'm from, where basically it's a camping ordinance, like you said, so you can't, you know, sit on the sidewalk, or if you're camping, you have to keep moving, sort of thing. But I wanted you to also mention the mentioned one of the other laws that they passed is in regards to traffic. So if you want to ask for change on the side of the road or in a medium, they basically outlawed that. And then, so what's the interesting workaround that Bitcoin provides to that?
Oh, well, so it's, you know, it was before Sean's Outpost existed, there was sort of a joke meme that of a, you know, a guy standing on the corner holding a QR code saying, hey buddy, can you spare a Bitcoin? But as funny as that is, in Pensacola, it has a really practical aspect, is that, it, you know, a homeless person can stand and hold a QR code. I can snap a picture with my phone and send him money, and he never has to step off the curb and actually technically break the law of panhandling. So, I mean, that's a you know, right, exact example of how technology can completely circumvent some of these stupid rules.
Right. The law that Pensacola passed was, well, that's traffic. You can't, when you hand something, when you reach out into traffic, that's a danger, yada, yada. You can't do that. It's against the law.
Well, work for Bitcoin.
Boom. QR code. I scan it from my car. I
but
never
we
had
that
to,
logo.
I
you know, that Statue of Liberty holding
out
up the sign that says, we'll work for freedom, yeah, or work for liberty. And, you know, you could just make that sign a Bitcoin.
Yeah, we'll work for Bitcoin.
You
put
know,
a QR code.
Yeah,
code
and yeah, you know, I mean, Wired Magazine did a great article on three homeless guys that Sean's Outpost was helping down here, that we got into the Bitcoin community, that have started doing work for Bitcoin, had done some Bitcoin panhandling, and about a week ago, those guys actually got into their own house. Like, they're not on the street anymore. Like,
okay,
Bitcoin
wait,
them off the street.
Tell me this. It was a Wired Magazine article on this. How would Donna search it to put it up in today's archive?
Yeah.
What, how would you search it? What story and title?
I would just search Wired Homeless and Bitcoin, and it'll come up immediately.
Wired Homeless Bitcoin. Go find that, would you please, Donna? You know, that's awesome. You know, and what's your role in this, Megan? I mean, what are you doing to help with this effort? Other than being perfect.
Everyone I know. I've been talking about it for months now. And also just, you know, trying to get involved cleaning up Satoshi Forest, too. I mean, I just think it's wonderful that you can bypass all of these laws and regulations, because it really is a war on homeless people. I mean, we have Black Friday coming up, and you know that they're not going to enforce the camping ordinance on Black Friday shoppers. And, I mean, and you know, you can kind of oppose that law by just directly giving people cash who are standing on the side of the road asking for cash. But I think Bitcoin is an even better way, and I find it really interesting. The Wired article kind of goes into more detail about homeless people using Bitcoin and even mining for Bitcoin. It's kind of amazing. It hasn't really caught on in, I guess, you know, the businesses in Pensacola yet, but a lot of homeless people are already using it as a currency, and it's just done so much good for the homeless community.
And so you got to think that, like, if there's a need for a charity, if there's a need for some sort of philanthropy, you'll generally find out that need has been created by some sort of bureaucratic or some sort of social crap. You know, like there's a strong anti-homelessness here, and so raising funds locally can be a problem. But you know, Bitcoin allows you to tell that story to the whole world.
Okay, when we come back, that's the one thing that I want to get into. I want to know, you know, I know there's homeless people are quality individuals, just, you know, need a little bit of help, and it'll pay it forward, and it'll come back later. But some people, they're homeless for a reason. We'll talk about those when we come back.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Here's a chance to do a little activism while you're cruising Facebook, Twitter, or Google. This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Some, we got new songs that we're doing and getting ready for and rejoin. We're having a good time. I really like doing the show and giving an opportunity for people like Jason, Megan, and you know, and Davi and Drew and everybody just get to have their say. And because it's a demonstration of what's coming, and you can expect the reaction from they, them, those who won't leave you alone. I'm sorry, you didn't fit inside the envelope. Yeah, but people are homeless and dying and cold and hungry and dead. Yeah, so. Did they get the homeless and dying and starving permit? I mean, you're not allowed. You sure as hell not going to do it here. So they go, all right, we're going to go do it over there. We bought the land. We're paying it with Bitcoin. Okay. Then what? Well, let's go ahead and describe exactly what's going on. You have Pensacola, which is a city in northern in the panhandle up there of Florida. That's where Robertson Roberts, oh yeah, I give a shout out to Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Robertson Roberts, Tim Fry, one of my bestest friends. I tell you, I love the fact, that was a big thing too last night, the Bitcoin thing. Yeah, we had a dealer, his name is Jerry Williams, a good friend, you know, we've been for decades using him. He has American Precious Metals Exchange in Phoenix, Arizona, in East Camelback, nice place there, do all the, I go, yeah, you don't take Bitcoin. Tim Roberts takes Bitcoin. I'm sorry, Tim Fry takes Bitcoin, Robertson Roberts. And I go, you know, and he goes, and he pulls out a business card. Somebody gave him in a little plastic envelope one of the Caduceus, the Bitcoin. He said, yeah, what's this? How do I, you know, somebody gave me this and I brought this and I go, I'll give you $100 for it. And he goes, what? He goes, I don't think so. I go, no, I'll give you $100. Give me. You know, I want it. And he's going, well, I don't know. Didn't it 400? And so I go, yeah. You know, that, you know, back when he got it, I think it was like, you know, nothing. You know, it was $5. You know, are you the one that gave it to him, Drew?
No. That was his first question. He brought that. Someone said he traded it, or I think one of his clients gave it to him just for kicks. And yeah, he had it in the bag. You know, he understood the numismatic value too. Davi explained that in the speech that they've sort of taken on a numismatic value, and he, as a gold dealer, kind of understood that. So what was interesting was he said when you called me over when he brought that out, because he was saying he was having a difficult time understanding how to look up the value, and I was trying to explain that to him. But he said, "Yeah, I'm here to learn more about Bitcoin," and I'm thinking, "Well, can I use this?" And his biggest concern was, if I accept Bitcoin for gold and the volatility goes down, well, I just lost my shirt. And I said, "Look, it is so easy. There are already other precious metals dealers like Roberts and Roberts who are ahead of the curve on this and are accepting Bitcoin. New place in Austin, Texas that does it. You know, Maji Metals. The list is growing." And I said, "Look, the volatility has been taken away by the merchant processing companies. Really, all you're doing is providing your customers a new payment way, and you get that payment in cash anyway."
His
on the
eyes
back
opened
end,
up.
Yeah, no, he gets a call from me later this afternoon. Just wanted, but yeah. So Jerry, and it was fun because he sort of remembered us right from the valley here. But he when I told him that he can take the volatility risk away completely, it was like, well,
I tell you what,
it's just another option for my clients.
I tell you what gave him it was the fact that Robert, because he sees Freedom's Phoenix, yeah. You know, he's advertised on quite a bit and so on. And Robertson Roberts shows Bitcoin accepted, and that has had a big impact on this. So I don't know how much you guys do in Bitcoin, Megan, but I mean, it's not none. I mean, some people using Bitcoins at Roberts and Roberts.
Yeah, we're actually seeing more people from out of state using Bitcoin. Like I said, it hasn't really caught on locally yet, but it does kind of broaden our ability to reach people in other places and in other states. So that's great. And I mean, about the volatility thing, you know, if that's something that he's really concerned about, you can always just, you know, convert it into cash really quick and not even hold Bitcoin if you wanted to do that. But so yeah, it just provides another option for people, and it's instantaneous and really easy to do. And we've been actually, Tim's been adding it in the radio, radio ads he's been doing, and we've been getting a lot of calls about it. So it's kind of cool. We've been, while some people are kind of hesitant to use it, they're very curious about it.
No, so you're, it is an activist thing. By the fact that you're doing this, you have had an impact on brokers here in Phoenix.
Just one real quick point that Davi made in his speech to Jerry was that, you know, Jerry was worried about the volatility, and he said, look, these services can alleviate this concern. But what the experience that we've had working with Tim is, when he first started, he was using one of those services, and he was immediately converting to dollars because it was, you know, risky, and he didn't understand fully what was going on. And in the last 6 months to 8 months, however long Roberts & Roberts has now been taking Bitcoin, I happen to hear that Tim's percentage of what goes to cash is lessening, and he's holding more and more. And a funny conversation that I had with him on the phone recently, he said, Drew, just, you know, buy some Litecoin. And I said, what? Okay. When your gold broker tells you to buy Litecoin, you are in a whole new world.
Oh, no, man. The world's coming to you. It's over. It's over. And that was brought up at the meeting. So, but I want to get back before we finish this segment. Real quick, you know, a couple of minutes here. Jason, go ahead and describe the actual property. What's it look like?
Yeah, so Satoshi Forest is 9 acres of an old oak growth forest. So it's all oak on the property. There's no, you know, we have a lot of sandy pine forest down here, but Satoshi Forest is pretty much all oak and some dogwood. And then we have a feeder creek that runs through the middle of it. So it's kind of,
wow.
We've got a 6-acre section, a creek, sort of a marsh area,
and aquaponics.
Yeah, exactly. So it's fantastic because we literally have our own water supply there, and it's Florida, so we have plenty of sun. So it's, you know, it's a great location. We really couldn't have gone out and chosen to find a better area. And
well, how just, far is really, it from downtown Pensacola?
It's about a mile and a half from downtown Pensacola.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Oh, is it in a county? Is it in another jurisdiction?
Yeah. So it's like stone's throw from the city limits of Pensacola. So it's not technically in the city. So the city actually doesn't have any jurisdiction.
Okay. So there. Let me tell you what my, you know, the man that's going to visit. Let me tell you who the person is. The sheriff. Okay. So how's your sheriff in that county?
Racist. That's how our sheriff is.
He's super racist,
and I think that's pretty much his biggest problem is he doesn't like black people at all.
Well, how many black homeless people? I mean, not that you guys care, but I mean, is it like you know? Damn, there's a lot of black people there. We're gonna get public support, and we're gonna go squash them black people living and breathing in and out and without permission. Black people.
So it's really screwed. We actually don't have that many, but we do have one park that is predominantly African American, and you know, Megan just reported on that. Like we gave out a bunch of blankets against the ordinance because we weren't going to let people freeze in the street regardless of whether it was legal or not.
Wait, legal to what? Give them a blanket?
Yeah, having a blanket in a public park and sleeping like that's actually what pushes you over the line to being a crime. Having a blanket. So we went out. It's, you know, starting to get freezing here, so we went out and handed out blankets. And so code enforcement actually came around and was taking blankets from homeless people because saying, you know, this is against code. But it was like worse than that. Like they didn't just do that. They only did it to the black homeless population. So it's like literally like we have these Byzantine ridiculous laws, but they're also being enforced discriminately against the African American homeless population. It is appalling.
Okay. Now yeah. This has to get a lot of attention. Now, Megan, what is your position on this? I mean, you're like, okay, I see this whole effort as an eye-opening educational awareness kind of something. You know, I mean, how are you going to benefit from this?
Well, you know, it's just crazy when you live in a place where giving someone a blanket is aiding and abetting a criminal. I mean, and the fact that they're saying, you know, homeless are criminals and that they're targeting these black people. But what's crazy is, you know, we've been able to, through the use of social media, really reach out to people on a broader range. And we've had a bunch of people come in support and say, you know, this is obviously messed up. I mean, how do you take an order like that? You know, take a blanket from a homeless person.
Oh, blankets! Taking blankets from the, you know, that's another thing. You know, are there children involved? You know, this is the one thing that we're going to find out a lot more about Sean's Outpost Satoshi Forest with Megan Kennison and Jason. We'll be right back.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Independence. I don't know how much more you can do independence declaring kind of stuff is when you are like, I break with thee, I break with thee, I break with thee, and I go over here, about a mile. So somebody is going to be, there is no way that they're just going to let this go. You got sheriffs and, you know, like clipboards and laws and guns and stuff. You know, I already know you're going to need some attorneys, you know what I mean? So I'm going, okay, how are you recognized as a property right in this acreage that's a mile from Pensacola? There's just no way in hell they're just going to let this go. So I'm going, what kind of property right defense position are you in, ownership, deed, something? Explain it.
Yeah, so Sean's Outpost is a registered nonprofit in the state of Florida, and Sean's Outpost is the legal owner as filed on with the county of Escambia. With the county of Escambia, we are the legal owners of Satoshi Forest. So we have a complete right. I mean, it is our property. We have, we have a private mortgage on it, but most people have a mortgage on their house. But the owner of the property is us.
Okay, and it's as what? I mean, raw land, as a campground, as bite me. We'll find out in court later. I mean, what are you doing?
So what's awesome about that, and it's extremely rare for the area, but it's actually zoned commercial mixed use, which gives us just a ridiculous amount of possibilities of what's already legal for us to do out there. So nothing that we're doing or planning on doing is against the zoning there. So it's kind of like what you said, like if they really want us out, they'll literally have to make some new laws. Because right now, we might be dancing around the spirit of their law, but we're still, quote unquote legal in what we're doing.
No, hell no. You're so not allowed. Megan, come on, help me out here. What do you see? I mean, you know how this stuff goes. You know, what do you see the future? What's going to be the battle?
Well, yeah, I think, eventually we'll probably get some trouble from the sheriff because it's in the county's jurisdiction. The city is probably going to be pissed about it, too, but it is kind of outside their jurisdiction. I'm sure there's going to be problems. But, I mean, as we saw with the blanket situation, there was such an outpouring of support from all over the country. I mean, I was able to get the story out, and I had people contacting me from New Hampshire and North Carolina being like, we want to get blankets. And, I mean, it was crazy. So there were blankets taken from these black homeless people. All of the blankets got replaced, and we got about three times more blankets than were taken.
So are you
continuing to collect blankets? So I think, combining direct action and you know, trying to go around a lot of these laws, but also showing, you know, the people, I think, of Pensacola are kind of fed up with the city council and the mayor and even the county, the sheriff.
You need to have we lost the Skype. Donna, come over here and redo the Skype thing, Ernie, would you please?
Ernie.
What?
Ask Davi about.
Okay, Davi, ask Davi about what?
The church.
So I've kind of heard this story before. It wasn't about Bitcoin.
We got you, Megan. Sorry.
But,
you do? Okay.
Okay, hold on a second.
So when I lived in San Jose, this was probably 10 years ago, there was a homeless shelter in San Jose called CHAM, the Christian Homeless Alliance Ministry, and it was both a soup kitchen and a homeless shelter and a church. And the city would always fight with them, saying, look, churches aren't zoned for homeless people, so you can't serve food here because it's a church or whatever. And they got in these legal battles where they're like, okay, well, they're not homeless people. We're employing all of them. So this is not a soup kitchen. This is a company picnic. And so they played these legal battles with the city. And at the end of the day, what the city did was they seized the property through eminent domain and they built City Hall on their property. And so that's where San Jose City Hall is right on top of the Christian Homeless Alliance Ministry. So, like, regardless of the law, is there a risk of eminent domain if they really decide that they want to fight?
Well, it'd have to be on a county level, you know, because it's in an unincorporated area, I would imagine. I don't think they understand the tar baby they're getting on them, okay? And it's almost like you want to give, slip a 20 to the sheriff or send him a little email and say, hey, man, there's, like, you know, like people over there being free and crap. You need to go, like, get them or something, you know? So are you planning for that, Megan?
Well, yeah, I mean,
you want me to send an email?
That could be a problem, but I mean, we've seen so much action. For instance, when the Wired article came out about homeless people using Bitcoin and mining for Bitcoin on their phone, they were doing it outside of this library where they had access to power and they were on their laptops, you know, mining for Bitcoin so they could, you know, get food with it. And then the library came in after that article came out and they said, you're no longer allowed to use our electricity. Get off. Well, I guess Jason shared it on Reddit and they got so much backlash from Reddit users, just like Reddit users, calling the library, complaining, bashing them, that they eventually allow the homeless people back on the property to use their electricity. And same with the blanket situation. So many people are outraged about what's going on. I mean, taking blankets from homeless people, it is just so outrageous and unnecessary, especially as winter's coming along and stuff like that.
Well, you know, if you get into the, you know, situation where you go, if it was there weren't these public libraries and you had private libraries, you can do, then you can do whatever you want. You know, so the argument is they go, well, the public library, we need to rule people the way we want to be ruled, and everybody, you pay for it, but we get to say who can and can't and what. So you get into all this muddy jurisdictional kind of stuff. And so I'm seeing that you're very close to Pensacola. I mean, you're in Pensacola. You might as well be. You're just outside the city limits. You got 9 acres. And I used to live in Florida. My father's from there. I lived there till I was 12. I know exactly what the terrain is like. Big, giant, mature oak. It looked like a plantation in an old southern movie kind of thing. With Spanish moss hanging, and you got a lot of, you know, resources there, a creek, water flowing through, kind of, man, you are prime real estate. And I guarantee you're going to make you some money, because they're going to come in and say, we're going to harass, condemn eminent domain, whatever. And then somebody's going to go, okay, all your troubles go away if you'll just sign here and we take the money. You go, okay. And you need a backup in another place that's 2 miles away. And then you so you say, all right, give us that, and we can have the entire infrastructure and build over. I mean, they have to understand what they're dealing with, and so do you. Plan ahead. I can see where this is going, and it's all about one thing. It didn't happen if it didn't get videotaped. So, I mean, everybody's got to have their video camera ready and quick and kind of whatever and, you know, and done. So how are you doing that? Is there surveillance of you have of the ground there? Are people starting to help with that to be able to document it? Tell us about that.
I understand. They make these really great hunting cameras. You know, you can tie them to a tree and you can leave them out there for 30, 60 days at a time. And they just take photos and they take video. And when they see movement, they record it. And, you know, I'm not saying that there are tons of those out there, but there might be a couple out in Satoshi Forest, you know.
There might be a couple more. Sounds like a fundraiser to me. You know, this is, okay. This is, they don't understand. You know, they just don't, they understand what they're up against. And we just had in the hour before you guys, Gun Save Lives effort here. It was a billboard campaign on bus stops. And the city council going, oh, hell no, you're not allowed to have a, you know, a pro-gun kind of thing. So all of a sudden, here comes, you know, all these different freedom institutions, you know, and paying for and suing. And they have a big hearing going. I mean, they got millions of dollars worth of advertising, but them trying to stop you. And what I know you're busy doing, you know, trying to help the homeless people, you know, actually doing it, but you got to be ready for them to come after you and how to do what I call political judo. You know, you use their own weight against you. Like, are you ready? You ready? You and look, everybody, what they did. No, aren't they bad? And then you have Purdy people like Megyn Kelly sitting up there and say, ain't I Purdy? And say, oh, I just love the homeless. And we're doing good. We're just trying to be good. We're trying to be good. You're not trying to be good. So this is just, I know they don't have any idea what they're up against. And, you know, and they don't see it in Megyn. You know, they look at, you know, this, you know, petite, beautiful little girl that gets up, man, she can curse like a sailor. I was up at Pork Fast 10. She goes, how many times do I got to say the F word to win this thing? You know, because everybody was cussing. You go, all right, for the showdown. She goes, how many times do I got to say the F word to win this thing? All right, well, here we go. So, and you won. So who's the kind of coming out as being the main spokesperson on this? Is it both of you? Jason, are you the one doing the media? When Wired comes and does interviews, who are they talking to?
They're pretty much talking to me. I mean, like, we're a leaderless organization, really. So, I mean, anyone's really willing to talk on it. But yeah, it's pretty much been me. I've done pretty much all of the interviews that we've had.
Okay, give out the website you think this is the primary one they should go to.
Yeah, Sean's Outpost, SEANSOutpost.com.
Sean's Outpost, SEANSOutpost.com. Sean'sOutpost.com. If you do a Google search on Satoshi Forest, and you kind of phonetically will eventually come up. So go ahead and do that. And it's just, you know, throw a little itty bitty little bit of Bitcoin just, you know, to piss them off. You know, just because you can. Oh, and they don't know who it is anyway. So you just go, I did it. You know, just to make you feel better, because there are people that are in dire need of not dying. And I'm going, okay, I vote that. So let's go ahead and see how this goes. I'm very interested in the conflict resolution, how this develops, and what happens. But you got to trust in humanity just to pay it forward. You know, there's going to be a billionaire homeless kid that gets done 15 years from now. You know, a lot more people will help because they got help. That's how it happens, a lot more than you think. Thanks, guys. There we go.
Thanks, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, listen, you know, make sure you spread it across the planet. You know, and we got the video. Donna will have that up in the next hour or so. And when she sends you the links, it'll include the videos and the MP3 file. And it was a good show. It had a lot of stuff. You know, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Does Reddit hate us because we're exploiting homeless people, or does Reddit hate us because we're too radical?
So
I understand it's all about building trust, and I get that, and I'm not like bitter, but I'm just asking because I get like 12 downvotes when I'm trying to raise money, like WTF. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I push your stuff too, and like the best stuff that you guys have gotten, I've put weight behind. But I think it's I love Hoodie the Homeless. Like, I think it's a fantastic project. But I think that just cursory, it comes off across as, yeah, I think it comes off to people that don't like want to put any effort into it, which is most of Reddit. They don't want to put, you know, any effort into, to like, you know, actually reading the context of something.
You know, I tell you our experience in the 90s. There was a newspaper called The Grapevine, and they sold them in stacks of 50 to the homeless for, I think it was like 10, 15 bucks. So they actually made profit on producing these newspapers, and they stood on the corner selling the newspaper. And what happened is, like, a donation, you know, you just give them a buck or two or three or whatever, and these people were making hundreds of dollars a day.
People do that in San Francisco. Most of the communist rags are distributed that way.
Yeah, and I was going, man, this is awesome. Well, what happened was, is the city of Phoenix was being criticized in there. The government, you know, so they shut them down and made it illegal at the same time that the afternoon main newspaper called the Phoenix Gazette was being distributed the same way by guys in shirts, you know, buying the, you know, at the thing. And they go, no, it's illegal because we can't have homeless people actually make it. Now, you can beg, you know, give me money. But you can't work.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is, you know, so if you had a public, I tell you what, we are putting together We have our e-zine. We're actually putting together, that's what our intern Jonathan is working on, and Gina, we just hired. They are producing a newspaper. We used to do a newspaper called CTI, Citizens Take Initiative, about initiatives we filed, and then it became Arizona Libertarian, then the Western Libertarian Alliance, and then it evolved into Freedom's Phoenix. Well, when we went to Freedom's Phoenix, we stopped publishing the paper. But we're getting back. We're going to publish our first paper again. I can give out of a 32-page, four-section broadsheet. This is going to be a big paper. So we have all kinds, you know, like when do you shoot a cop, legalized methamphetamine, I'm sorry from Paul Rosa. I mean, you know, man, it's going to get some attention. Now, if we put in there and we kind of customize one of the couple of pages to a full page of Satoshi Forest kind of stuff, so it's worth you guys distributing, I will send you a gazillion that they can use to make money. You see my point?
Yeah, man.
So we do, sure. You get a whole bunch, you get a pallet of, you know, newspapers, and man, here we go. And they do battle. I guarantee, I've been through this before 20 years ago. They freak the F out. Because you're sharing information, you're talking, and you can write whatever stories. And Megan's probably got, you know, 15, you know, backlogged anyway, she wants to put in there. So this is something that we can help with. You guys willing to work with us on that?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
Score! Okay, I've been through this before. What they did, they had a thing called the Grapevine, and it was a homeless paper that they went, it was distributed by the homeless, and it was so effective. We went in 2010, I think it was, Donna and I, a good friend of ours, Jim Lozinski, was the Manhattan chairman of the Libertarian Party, and we wanted to go and demonstrate. I go, are you freaking kidding me? You guys got Subway, millions of people on it. Go, print whatever you put, give me thousands. Donna and I put thousands, and we carried these big backpacks onto the Subway at, you know, like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning when they started at the end of the line. And when it started, we put them all over the benches, and nobody was on the train to get to the next stage. And we got off the platform, waited for the next train, got back on, you know, flooded all the seats with the newspaper, got off at the next one. We kept doing it. By the time we got into Manhattan, we distributed over 8,000 papers. Okay, wow. And it just flooded them, and I'm going na 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 na. So this is so many opportunities to use actual physical paper and go back and take that over, because the only time that they have any kind of control of the media is it's always the real estate developers, it's the government, it's the car dealerships, it's the lawyers and so on that pay for the display advertising to support the status quo in your community. And if you compete with them directly with homeless. I've been through this before. I already know what happens. It will freak them the hell out. So, Megan, Jason, start getting ready to write columns that you want, because within the next 8 weeks, we're going to do this after the holidays probably. We're going to produce a minimum of 10,000 of these. So I'm going, you know, we can make a cut that has some, you know, we change like four pages and we get more regional because it's going in the rural area of Arizona. But I'll do one that has, you know, the Pensacola kind of thing, and we'll get them produced. Or we can even send you the PDF files that you go to a local printer and they print it there. And we can raise the money for you guys to do this and distribute and start this.
Sounds like a plan, man.
Been there, done it. I already know where it goes.
Cool.
All right, cool. We'll put it together and work on that.
Rock and roll. Ernest, I really appreciate it, man.
No, it's our pleasure. What do you guys think? That's a good iron did. And, of course, we're going to put our crap in there. That's always good.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Drew, yeah?
Yeah.
Rock and roll. Great to talk to you, Jason and Megan. Peace out.
Thanks, guys. Good job. Talk to you later.
Take care, guys.
Bye.